Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
I like the mysticism.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody lives on a bike.
Everybody loves dynamite.
Yeah, you made it out of Hagerstown, eh, beautiful?
Hi, RJ. Mike, I use ice.
Ah, very good. That's good. It works for you.
Every time.
Excellent.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Touch the Membrane and all the ships at sea. You guys who know you can't reason with a whore. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Thank you, Ralphie.
Everybody loves
dynamite. And Roland, thank you for listening coast to coast and still nationwide and still VIWW0.
Now.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. That's why we still to this day call it the Cotton Pick and Dynamite Show.
We are here in control now, gentlemen, and we really are this time.
Yeah, no need to worry. Jeremy is nowhere near the control board and nowhere near our telephone.
Excelente.
Right, we're coming to you from sinkhole number one, WJFK in Washington, D.C., where Ken Stevens has lots of room in his new six-car garage to put on his skin tag. He's the general manager. And Jeremy Coleman, who showed us on Friday's episode that he doesn't know dick about radio.
Yeah.
He's the gerbil. He's in the fetal position underneath his glass coffee table on the second, sometimes referred to as third floor, the executive floor.
Executive suite.
Here at CBS Radio. Of course, Big Daddy Mel ruined the world for New York City and Black Rock.
Yeah.
All hail Buddha Mel and our agents. Yes. Working the phones right now.
Yeah, phone in one hand, shuffleboard stick in the other.
To better our career. We're about to blow up nationwide.
Yeah.
Thanks to Egypt Frosty. That is the chain of command around here.
Everybody loves dynamite.
Right. Keep saying that.
That's right, Rob.
And a word for you soccer moms right now, driving carpool with your Hillary Clinton helmet haircut. Please take the youngsters, Junior and Missy, put them way to the back of the room and stand back there. Look at that. I just whipped this thing out.
Hey, you painted stripes on it.
I sure did, Mike.
I like the mysticism.
Because my penis likes the mysticism. That's the big guy made the rocket open this radio thing and...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, 60 stations.
Sure.
Westwood One.
Yes.
5 million Arbitron-rated listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Say it every day. Thank you for your patronage.
We do.
We do appreciate it. Here he is to my left and to your right. Guy that had the bestest time of anybody in Hagerstown.
Yes.
There is our friend Guy Birdley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
The nervous driver, Buzz Burbank.
But we'll talk about that in a moment.
Surely. And we got some stuff to tell you about Friday night's show. But I see the phones are hot right now.
Good. They're sizzling.
Before we get to the phones, let me take today's show is jam-packed. We will have... the Star Wars tickets to give away.
Yeah, we're like everybody else. We wouldn't let you down.
Yeah, we got the premiere tickets. We'll be doing some goofy contests for that later. And I guess the highlight of today's show will be the confrontation that we're going to have with King of Queens star Leah Remini.
Leah Remini is calling today, and she will speak with us. And, of course, you know, we're pitting those two against one another.
Right. We've got Kevin James and the stuff that he said a week ago today on the show.
That's all we're doing now. We tape what he says, we tape what she says, and then we play it when either one comes on the show, we play what the other one said.
Look, should be good. You know, big Hollywood stars get mad at each other.
Uh-huh.
All over us.
But you know, when she gets mad at us, it excites me.
And we enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
First call of the new week. Let me mention, today is the 17th of May, and our telephone number is 1-800-636-1067.
We are smack dab in the middle of the merry, merry month of May.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. I just wanted to say welcome to Rochester, New York. You're finally live, thank God.
Hey, oh, that's right. You know,
that deserves a round of applause.
Our station in Rochester, WHTK, has finally seen the light, and now the good people of Rochester can participate in the show on a daily basis. They're carrying us live now. It used to be a one-hour tape delay.
People in upstate New York, they love this show. We know that. We've had very good success up there, and we're happy to be on live.
Finally, less Jim Rome and more of you guys. That's
well, beautiful. That's it. That's a start, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to mention, anyone see the Joan of Arc show?
Was that a sunk fest?
Oh, please. Let's not start today's show by talking about Joan of Arc. I'd rather talk about Joan Van Arc than Joan of Arc.
I watched 5 minutes of it. You know what? The one thing, I turned it off immediately.
What?
They didn't use the real accents. They had some of the actors there, you know, like the guys representing France that were saying, Well, where is Joan of Arc? She's going to come in. I'm like,
yo.
Yeah, you're not going to put...
Yo, Joan.
Where is Joan of Arc?
Forget about it. Hey, Joni.
We are going to go to the King of England. It's like, forget... Hey, you're not going to work hard enough. You're not going to hire actors that are going to fake the accents. Then forget about it.
Yo, yo, yo. Joni.
Joni.
What's up with that?
Joni, except, you know, when I was watching that actress, I couldn't help thinking about you because she looks...
Like Helen Hunt.
Remarkably similar. She's just like the younger version of Helen Hunt.
Like when Helen Hunt was in that TV movie where she was the girl that played quarterback.
That's right. I forgot. She got a strange name, that actress that played her. But, oh, God, that was horrible.
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, sir.
Calling from Bakersfield, California, where we are also now getting Don and Mike live.
What a day.
Yeah, look at that.
Tell this good stuff happening.
And what they're advertising is that we're going to be keeping you guys this way from now on, which means when you drop those pieces of S at Westwood One, we are staying on the Don and Mike bandwagon.
Listen to this.
Fan,
huh?
Yeah, baby.
I wish I could believe that, sir. Of course, that's up to the management of your station, KGEO. But
sure.
Yeah, we have two different stations that have been running the show.
They say we are staying through to the millennium with this lineup, so I'm saying we're with you, man.
Well, don't believe anything a radio station tells you. But
Nevertheless, we're very glad that we have two stations that have been carrying the show on tape delay. They got some good ratings, but now they both decided, starting today, we're live.
Live.
Love Don and Mike, guys. Later.
So dig it. Thank you, my friend.
That's cool. I like being on live in Rochester, and I like being on in the Bakersfield. That's good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, long-time listener, 1986 when I started, and really enjoyed seeing you guys Friday night, but...
Okay, here we go. But...
I don't want to start off your show this way.
No, that's okay. We're going to talk about this.
Well, see, I'm in Roanoke, Virginia today on business, and I can't hear your show. So it really upsets me that I can't hear you bash those jerk-offs up there.
Oh, listen, we had a situation Friday night at our Las Vegas-style show that, frankly, we've never encountered before when we've had to go somewhere and do one of these shows.
Took a few extra years off our lives.
Okay, so listen, we get done with the show, which, as you know, was a nightmare, doing the show from WARK at the little telephone booth that they have for a radio station, and plus Jeremy is doing everything he can to undermine everything we're doing. So it was a frazzled show on Friday to begin with, but hey, you know, that's live radio, that's how it goes.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fatigue factor going into our, you know, Las Vegas-style show.
But nonetheless, we are so excited. Let me tell you what happened. We pull up to this place, and we've been goofing on doing the show from a Ramada Inn.
Yeah.
But truth be told, this club
right.
that was inside this hotel, massive. There was 1,100 people in there. Huge place.
Mm-hmm. Terrific crowd.
Gigantic, big, wall-sized video screens.
Right.
Fantastic sound system.
Great location.
We couldn't be happier. We walk in the door, and there's over 1,000 people from Hagerstown, Maryland, that are there to see the show. So we're psyched. We're really psyched.
Very pumped up about that.
We walk in. We go to the little room where we have our pre-show cocktail.
Right.
You know, and have a cigar, and, you know, that's where we normally have to have a chat. I talk with the local community people about what standards they want and what they don't want to see. And, you know, it's the standard bull-ass that we go through in every show. Except this time, the manager of this place, who was just a dweeb of the highest regard, the guy comes back, and the first thing he says is, okay, I don't think you can do the show tonight. And we say, wait a minute, we got 1,000 people out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're here, we're ready to go. The guy says, well, you can't have any nudity. And we went, okay.
Well, we've done that before. We've had lots of fun and done our little show, whoa, without that. You know, if that's your problem, no problem. Right?
Although there ended up being nudity. Girls took their tops off and, hey, what about that brother? The black guy got up on stage?
Yes, he showed everything.
Pulled out his thing. Started playing with himself
that's
up
right.
on stage.
He was quietly escorted off the stage.
Yes. And, you know, we told the guy that runs this place, that's what you do if you don't want the nudity. If a girl takes her top off, or if a guy drops his pants and exposes himself, you just...
They're gone. They're informed before they start that
right.
that's the way it's going to be. They have their people stand at the corner of the stage, and if something goes wrong, they're taken off the stage. That's the way it works. We've done that a million times. It's worked fine.
But this guy, the manager of this club, he wouldn't budge. He said, no, no nudity. And furthermore, you can't do the Monica Lewinsky cigar game.
Oh.
Now, at this point, I look like I said, he's killing us here. What are you talking about? And the guy says, you can't have girls put the cigars in their place. So, you know, compromise, name of the game. I said, okay, how about this? How about you take some of these big tablecloths, because we were in a big banquet room having this meeting.
Right. Yeah, we've done variations on this game in the, you know, in lots of different places where, depending on, you know, how uptight the folks are, that's the way we'll do it. And this time you suggested the big tablecloth
right,
in front of the... So nothing, really, nothing would have been seen by the crowd, but they would have been there and we would have, you know, said, hey, this is what's going on.
I said, you get the bouncers out there. Four, they had big muscle-bound bouncers.
Yeah.
So you get four bouncers out there and they each hold these long tablecloths. Nobody from the crowd can see what's happening.
Right.
But the girls can really do the thing with the cigars and we can hold the cigar up and it's all glistening and stuff. We'll have somebody smoke it. And the guy says, no, absolutely not. Now, it's really pissed at this guy. And, you know, here's the options we have at this point.
Right.
We could either say that we've got some integrity and we're going to walk.
Right.
But if we walk, frankly, then we're letting down the 1,100-plus people that have been waiting there for 3 hours to see us.
Right. They're all there. They're ready to go. And that really is not an option because, you know, the people are there. They're there to see the show, and we got to give them a show.
And the guy wouldn't budge. 1 inch. And you know what? The guy sounded like a goddamn program director that we used to have.
That's when it started. That's when you started to get really upset. And I could understand. When they started, both the GM of the radio station up there and the manager of this place started to sound like PDs where they wanted to say something along the lines.
Here's
you can do your act.
Here's exactly what the guy that runs, just the guy that runs a hotel, he says to me, you guys are so funny. Can't you do a show without the dirty stuff?
Oh, it's like, this is a guy that's never seen our Las Vegas stuff show. He doesn't know what it's about.
Exactly. Like, what are you doing? You're killing me.
What are you talking about, our content? You want to just go, you know, that's when you want to say, hey, you know what? You go on stage and you do the 2.5-3 hours in front of the 1,100 people.
And the general manager from WARK, he was no help. He stood there and just a big smile on his face.
Big doofus.
He said a similar type of thing.
Yeah, he said, you don't need to do that, do you?
Hold on, here's the thing. We've advertised this as the same type of raunchy show that we do at every nightclub we go to.
The owners, the powers that be at these places, are briefed as to exactly what they're getting when they hire us to do a show.
Right.
This is an adult-oriented show. We don't make any secrets about that.
I'm screaming at this manager. I said, wait a minute. You've booked us here for 2 months. You've been running ads. I see the flyers all over the place. You've got 1,100 people here. You couldn't pick up the phone a week ago, 2 days ago, yesterday? You have to wait until 5 minutes before we go on stage to say that we can't do this? And the guy's got that, the goddamn, you know when Madonna does her live show and she has like the headset on, like a Time Life operator headset?
Right.
The guy's got one of these things. He's wearing it while he's talking to us and while he's doing it because he's such a high roller being a hotel manager in Hagerstown. In the middle of our conversation.
Bar manager.
Right.
You're giving him a higher title.
In the middle of our conversation, he's like, hold on a minute. He turns his head away and goes, Roger, we need more 7-Up at bar number 4. You know, these are the kind of things the guys go out there. So, I mean,
and it's not just that we've worked, and it should be on the record that we work with all the people that run these places, and we have no problems. Rare has been the time where we have had a problem like this. The reason we had the problem was, number one, this came out of left field. There was no willingness to compromise.
We've never had a situation like this before.
Number two, he was clueless, and why he even wanted to book us for this place is beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, he starts, as you said, being a program director and trying to tell us what our show is, and that's when it demonstrates. You know, from the minute I got there, you can tell when they have their act together and when they don't. When they don't, you arrive at a place. The guy who was at the front door, because I ended up going to the front door because nobody told us where to go.
You were the first guy driving the caravan in there to get into the place. We went back to park. I said to Charlie Sosa, what happened to Mike? He says, I don't know. I thought we were following Mike in this place.
Well, what I usually do is I, and this was no fault of Charlie's, his phone was on the fritz, and so his phone wasn't working. So I go to the guy at the front door, and I said, hi. And the guy stops me. He puts both hands on my shoulder and says, hold it. I said, Mike, we're doing the show here. Oh, yeah. I said, where are we supposed to be? He asked three people. And now at this point, I knew that there was a problem because he's asking three people saying, they're doing some kind of show here. There are 1,000 people in the bar because we're going to do this show. And the guy says, they're doing some kind of... And then he looks at me and says, well, you know, there's a table of radio station people that are sitting right down front. I said, that's not where we're supposed to go. It was kind of crazy.
So I say to the guy, this manager, I finally say, well, listen, we're going to go out there and we're going to do the show. If you don't like it, I guess you can shut us down. But we're going to go out there and we're going to say that you guys suck and that you're trying to put your foot on our throat.
Mm-hmm.
The guy said, well,
I wouldn't do that if I was you.
That's not a very smart move.
I said, wait, boy.
What's not a smart move?
We're just telling it the way it is. So, I mean, we're telling you, this is why we can't do what we wanted to do.
We get out there,
and we do the show.
Okay, and it was a good show. We had a fantastic crowd. They couldn't be nicer.
Uh-huh.
We did all the stuff that we do. Yelled and screamed at them. But then, when I lost it, and I apologize, but I lost it on stage in front of everybody. I just started screaming at this goddamn disc jockey, Opie, that they had working there. We're playing the Dennis Murphy skydiving tape, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, still listening.
Good. He's hanging on for me.
Okay. So we're playing the videotape of Dennis Murphy skydiving. We get done playing that tape. We say, okay, now, as we've advertised on the show, we're going to show you the videotape of...
The Messy Girls.
The Messy Girls.
Right. This Messy Girls video that I have to tell you, this is a Messy Girls video that is, it's long on gross and it's very short on erotica.
But
it's funny.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody could get a boner from this tape. It's girls. Well, you heard it. We played it on the radio.
Yeah, we described it. It's a funny tape. We thought it would be great for the Las Vegas style show because the women are so ugly and the tapes are so gross. That's the reason we wanted to show it.
Now, we're up on stage,
right.
Okay? And we say, okay, roll that tape. And there's like 5 minutes where nothing's happening.
We're padding. We're padding like there's no tomorrow. What we don't realize is that going on at the monitor, this guy's looking at all this this stuff on the tape and deciding, making this editorial judgment on his own that he doesn't want to show it because it's got something on there he doesn't think should be on the video screen.
Right. And now, this is not the manager of the place. This was the disc jockey.
Drew Carey.
Yeah, the Drew Carey. We found out later his name is Opie. Right.
Mind you, this is stuff you would walk into any R-rated movie and see on screen.
Right.
And we are in an establishment where you have to be 21 to get in.
Hey, it's a funny thing. So the guy says, this guy, you know, the standard, the guy who's making the standards, apparently.
Yeah, I guess this is when we discovered there were more than one chef.
Big, fat, stupid-looking guy who's working behind the DJ booth. He's looking at the tape on the monitor, and he says, no, you can't play that.
Mm.
Now, at this point, Mike and I are out on the stage, and this guy's like 10 feet behind us in a booth. It's not like we can just jump over the wall and go back there and play the tape. So
this is like 5-10 minutes of you know, what we're going to do, where we just wanted to show people this stupid little tape and then be you know, move on with the show.
So then it ends, it got very ugly. Like me screaming at this guy, just calling him all kinds of names and saying, you know, you dick, just play the tape. And then we're waiting for the manager to come up there. And finally they come up and they say, no, listen. You can't play this tape.
My favorite moment during that, though, is you said, you looked over and you said, and this guy who you couldn't hear, I could hear him, and he said, oh, here's somebody from the club. What does he think? And there's this guy standing with a beard going, go ahead and pull the drunk guy. Don, he's a drunk. He doesn't have any authority here.
Listen, you know, they did everything they could to derail
ridiculous,
the show that we had going. We've never been censored
right
like this before, and the final bit of crap was when I was walking out of the club with Charles Boyle and Charlie Stossel.
Mm-hmm.
We're going out to the parking lot to our cars, and some nice people. Oh, you were there, Buzz.
That's
nice,
right.
People come up to us, and they say, hey, we really enjoyed the show. But
a lot of people gave me that, too. It was great.
Say, we want you to know something. That we arrived here about 8:30. We went on stage at about 8:30. After 8:30, this place was charging $5 a head to get in. And a big part of what we do is that we say, no charge. It's our way of saying thank you to our listeners for supporting the show.
That is huge.
So not only did those bastards shut us down, edit the show, take away 50% of what we do, and make our life miserable, they had the balls to charge our listeners. Now, we didn't know about this until after the fact. If we had known that...
No, this has nothing to do... We are not in... We have to go on the record here saying we are in no way involved with anything like that. Because that is a... You know, I've seen you... In other circumstances where that's been a subject where you said, okay, that's where we would walk.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Give the people the money back.
Yeah.
Or give everybody in this place $5. Or we're going to walk out. Because you're talking about, you know, they made a fast $5,000 on that.
Right, sure. Bingo.
And they screwed us, and they screwed all of our fans. So
it was very, I mean, outside of, you know, the people that were there, and we did have a good show. We had a good time with everybody that was there. We had an awful lot that we had to go through to get the show you know, up and running. It was
more of a
unbelievably
pain, more of a pain in the ass than doing a radio show for a tight ass program director. I swear to God, it was the worst experience we've ever had doing one of these shows.
Well, you know, I hope this incident didn't discourage you guys from having more because it was very enjoyable, and I hope to travel to see your next one, sir.
Well, thanks a lot.
Well, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
For everybody that showed up, we're really grateful, and we had a great time with everybody that was there.
It was a good show, and I had a lot of people say to me afterwards, hey, I don't know what you're mad about. The show was great.
Yeah, but the show wasn't great like all the other shows are great because you folks didn't get to see
right
all of the good stuff that we wanted to do.
Right, you know? And especially the phase two. You know, we got by the Monica Lewinsky thing, but I'll be honest with you. When they wouldn't run that tape because some guy was standing at a video monitor, and we're up there, you know, we're padding, waiting for this tape. And finally, he's made some sort of editorial decision, but he's not, you know, giving us the word as to exactly why. Nobody from management is talking to us.
Right,
so
just nobody up there naked. Nobody would play the tape.
Ridiculous.
Nobody would play the tape.
Pretty interesting. Very interesting evening in Hagerstown.
Welcome to small town America.
It was tough. I mean, it really was tough.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hi, baby.
Hey, baby.
This is Jennifer calling you from Fredericksburg.
Yes, hello, Jen.
Hi. My husband and I went to our first Las Vegas style show on Friday. We drove from Fredericksburg. And I love you guys, and I did like the show, and I am definitely going to more of them, because we were kind of disappointed that we didn't get to see anything.
You drove up, did you say you drove up from Fredericksburg, Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Christ, that's a long drive.
We stayed at the Ramada, and so we just made a night of it.
Wow, I hope great. They sold the towels and the soaps and everything else
for that flea bag. You know what was, the other thing that I just had to mention, and I noticed because it was surreal, and I don't know how loud it was, but we do a show, we go into nightclubs, we go into places where it is 21. We make no secret. This show is for adults and adults only.
It's quadruple X rated.
Quadruple X rated. So the powers that be. What's going on in this room next door to the stage? I mean, I don't know how it's in the wall.
Future farmers of America, right?
In the hotel.
A bunch of kids in the hotel the same night they scheduled us to be there.
A bunch of like 15-year-old kids, and they had all these. It was surreal. We're walking.
It was like from another planet.
We're walking down the hall, arguing with this manager about if we can have girls put cigars in their vaginas, and meanwhile, out on display, there were like all these little toy farms and stuff that these kids have made.
And then they're in a room next door to where we're, our green room, where we're waiting to go on, they had some recital going on. I don't get it.
It was nutty.
I think it's an advertisement for poor planning. I've never seen anything like it.
We couldn't be more unhappy with the people at Barracuda's. We really couldn't. And we want to sincerely apologize to all the great people that came out there. I mean,
especially if you got charged $5, we really apologize.
It was almost like they had everybody come in there so they could get all the money from everybody for drinks and stuff, and then go, oh, you know what, guys? We're going to have you do the show, but thanks for the money.
Right, that's frustrating.
Well, that's kind of how we feel. Thank you, Jennifer. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, me and my wife and another couple went up there, and the other couple's wife had side-facing IDs, and we were all of age, and they turned us away.
Well, that could be because that was another thing to worry about with the fire marshal, because they had only planned on it. Another great thing the guy says to me, he says, when you said on the radio that you get over 1,000 people at these shows, I thought you were lying. That's what the manager said to me.
Duh!
The guy says, we thought that maybe 200 people would show up. We really weren't prepared for over 1,000 people.
That's the key right there. That's the first true thing he said, though. They really weren't prepared.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that. I bet that's the reason they didn't let you in, because they had a problem with cramming so many people in there.
Well, I mean, I got there at 6 o'clock. There was nobody there yet.
I just want to say, I don't know about that, then.
After the show is over, I'm very, very glad that balcony held.
Yeah. It was almost like a Who concert or a soccer match in England.
Do you remember when we pointed those people?
They were bouncing up and down.
Oh, it was packed.
It was jammed. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Maudie.
Bobby.
How you doing?
Doing okay.
All right, great show Friday night. Place sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. I'm, you know, again, sorry, you folks didn't get to see the real show.
And you know, all the crack whores in Hagerstown, I live around that place. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's the scum of the earth in living there.
He's talking about cracked wheat. Cracked wheat crackers.
Crack wars and crack dealers, you name it. They're the scum of the earth.
Hagerstown, I didn't see a lot of that, to be honest with you.
I saw a lot of the Dairy Queen. That's what I saw.
Yeah, Dairy Queen.
The blue-haired lady I saw at the Dairy Queen was not a crack dealer.
She could have been.
Yeah, look closely, right?
All right, thank you, my friend. Thank you. All right, hold on. Here's a bouncer. That's the guy who was one of the bouncers.
Oh, very good.
You know, I felt bad for those guys, and I tried to say to the bouncers, who were really nice guys, who were put in an awful position, because more than one of the bouncers came up to me and said, listen, this is real bull-ass, man.
Yeah.
But they had a job that they had to do.
Sure they did, right.
So I made sure to say to as many of the bouncers as I could, you know, we appreciate the all the bouncers are coming back, get their pictures taken with us and stuff.
Yeah, we had a good time with those guys, and they did a good job. They did a good job. They were in a tough situation.
They didn't agree with the decision, man. Oh, you're a bouncer, right?
Yeah, in fact, I'm the one that escorted you guys to and from the stage and got Mike his towels after he spilled Sambuca all over himself.
Yeah. And that was the cherry on my Sunday, too, between the first and second set, after we'd had the real meltdown on stage, and then I spill like this Sambuca all over my front, just trying to pour myself a tiny little drinking bowl. Oh,
and he went ballistic.
I went ballistic.
You know what?
I said, not that he wasn't mad already when he spilled that stuff all over himself, he was irate.
I was.
Yeah. Hey, you guys are great. I was in need of my car every day. That's just a sideline job for me. So it was a good show, but I would have loved to have seen the great show with everything show.
Talk to those dick managers you work for.
Friends of mine, so I just have to go with what's said. You know, we're in that position.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make a living, and you got to do what you have to do. I mean, that's tough. That is tough for everybody, and it's tough when they don't. I think lack of preparedness is what the issue is. You know?
Why ask us to come somewhere and
absolutely
do a show if you don't want the show that we've advertised we're going
to
do?
Right. Probably the same reason they charge people, the same reason they have the Future Farmers of America next door.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Okay, thank you.
I loved your show on Friday. That was my first one I've ever been to.
So you know what? Let me just interrupt you there. That's one of the things I do best is interrupt. That's what really pisses me off the most, because you think you saw a good show, and yeah, it was a good show, but compared to the other shows we've done, that was like the worst show we've done.
Yeah, I mean, our show's usually bam, 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 just nonstop, stuff happening all the time, and then everybody goes home happy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the next one. I absolutely will go wherever the next show is. You know, the only other thing I got to say out loud for everybody here is, boy, Barracuda sucks.
Right?
Gotcha, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what is up with Charlie, man? Why didn't he pick the right girl for the underwear fashion show?
Charlie Stossel?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say, in the Dollmeister's defense, he chose the girl that took her clothes off the most.
Did you see the size of those tatas?
You mean the other redhead girl that was in the final?
The two redheads
that
we had. The two finalists in the underwear fashion show were fine, fine looking.
And I don't know if you saw the dynamic with the girl that had the gigantic milkshake machines,
right,
who wouldn't take off even her bra strap,
right? Right.
When she was dancing in front of everybody. Meanwhile, the other girl, like, pulled down her pants, pulled down her bra and everything.
And playing to Charlie Stossel, too.
The other girl,
yeah,
the girl with the big yabos, she had a boyfriend,
yes,
that was off on the side of the stage.
Yeah, I was right behind him. I saw what he was doing.
God, if he wasn't her pimp. He was getting all red in the face. Big veins are sticking out of his neck.
See that.
He was screaming at her, "Show them your teeth! Take off your shirt!" I mean, the guy was going ballistic
and throwing up his hands in exasperation when she wouldn't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a funny dynamic.
We had kind of a new dynamic for that underwear fashion show, too, as we created our own lyrics for every contestant.
That was good.
We had
some fun there.
Yes, we did.
Even in that trying situation.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the evening.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Michael.
Buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to catch up. Your wives did go. Their entourage did go.
Oh, no, hold on. That's the other thing I got to tell you about.
Yeah, right.
That was really pretty much just a joke that was being played on Mike O'Mara.
Thank you.
That the wives didn't go. They all went out to dinner somewhere else.
Yeah, and I found this out standing on stage. Standing on stage. That's, of course, as soon as Don said that to me, that's when I simply took my shirt off. And I just stood half naked in front of the... Everybody.
I can't take credit for that because that's my wife's goof. My wife's
God lover, yes, sir.
Because my wife really had no desire to go to one of those shows.
Right.
When she found out that the thought of it got under Mike's skin a little bit, she said to me like 2 weeks ago, "Hey, listen,
right,
we're going to get a car and we're going to go out to dinner at a restaurant, but everybody's going to know about this except for mine."
Yes, well, story of my life. You know, you couldn't get me for April Fool's Day, so you had to get me at least one time. And I'm looking over at you as you're standing there saying, "Where they all are tonight is out to dinner." You know, it was a combination of shock and relief at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
It was pretty interesting.
Well, you know, they didn't go. They have no desire to go.
They got home later than I did.
Yeah. I got home at 12:30. I don't know what time your wife got home. My wife didn't get home until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, it was late. The girls had a very good time.
But as a matter of fact,
did assume the expenses, right?
Pardon me?
Westwood One, they assume the expenses, right?
You're looking at the two guys that assume the expenses on that one.
Basically, we worked for, you know, we worked for one evening, you know, that was it.
And as a matter of fact, you know, last week when we had the girl from Spokane, Washington, she was showing us, or we were looking at the naked pictures of her.
Lovely Aubrey.
Remember my wife called in and said, listen, that's enough of that, hang up the phone. Mm-hmm. And all you guys called in and said, I'm a big pussy, and all of a sudden, how can my wife run my life? She was just doing that.
Right.
Like to continue the goof.
Yes.
She was doing that because she still wanted Mike to think,
right,
that she was uptight and that she was going to be bringing all the wives and they were going to have a big protest at our show.
He's standing up there with posters, holding posters above their head.
Well, I truly have pleasant wife would assaulted me on a situation like that. You guys are brave.
Listen, our wives, really, they could give a rat's ass about what we're doing.
They understand how pathetic we truly are.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Oh, but that was funny when I did get to tell you that on stage.
Laugh right.
Said, hey, Mike, guess what? The wives aren't here. They were never going to come at all.
Yeah, it's 5 seconds. First thing up on stage. After we had this, like, sparring match up there. What a night.
I slept
well that night. It was worth it.
Don't blame me. Blame freedom. And that's the first thing she said to me when I got home. How was Mike? Well,
oh, he was happy all night.
Hello. Yeah, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, my wife and I, we got there, I don't know, around 3 o'clock, and the only seats we could even get to sit were all the way back behind the bar, like straight across from y'all, underneath that balcony, all the way in the back against the wall. So Dennis Murphy comes around, starts selling his T-shirts, right? Comes around back behind the bar there. He goes to sell a shirt to the girl next to my wife and me, and she lifts her shirt up with her bra on for him to sign her, okay? To autograph her.
Yes.
And she lifts her shirt up. He signs it. She pulls the shirt down. She takes the T-shirt. These guys come over with headsets, and I mean jerked her out of there.
Mm.
And it was before y'all even hit the stage. That's a shame.
Again, sorry about that. They're very, very, very uptight. Screw them. You know, that'll be the last Ramada Inn we ever play.
First show we've ever been to, my wife and I, because it was a Friday night, we could get off work and everything, and we still enjoyed ourselves.
Good.
But thank you. But they crashed on you, man.
I know. We apologize. Thank you,
Mike.
And like, you know, there's always an excuse, and there's always a reason. And he had some kind of reason about they're up for sale or something.
That's what he said. We're up for sale, and the deal is going to close in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And if you guys come on and do your regular show, well, the sale might not go through. Oh, bull crap.
And if it is true, well, what the hell are you getting us up there for anyway?
Right. You know, we got another show in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
June 3rd, we're going to announce this at some point in today's show. June 3rd, we're going back to Baltimore.
Baltimore, boy!
And then on Friday, June 18th, we're going to be in Sacramento.
Could be the biggest ever.
And being as the Kings lost their game yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great game. They just fell apart in overtime, man. It's like when it came to overtime, they just sucked. They said on the TV that Vladdy Divac looked like he ran out of gas, and he really did.
Well, you know, going up against Karl Malone, he looked like he was pretty beaten up in that game, that's for sure. It looked like he had a pretty tough time with Mr. Malone. It was a tough series.
Thank you, Ahmad O'Mara. But the point of that is, because the Kings lost,
right,
what that means is, you know, the big secret that we've been keeping about this show in Sacramento is that we want to do the show, do the Las Vegas stuff. What, it's no? The answer on that is no, doing it from the Argo Arena?
Oh, bummer.
Why? We get 15,000 people in there.
I feel like I'm on stage again on Friday night.
Well, no, he says right on the screen, no. Well, Charlie, why? Because I thought it all hinged on that
thing. Continuing.
Oh, no talking about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Egret say.
Okay.
Ig Bay Egret say.
Out of the Ag Bay.
I ain't red.
Ooh, they say. Ooh, gray.
But we're going to have a good time in Sacramento. We're excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're doing the show from a place better than the Ramada Inn when we go to Sacramento because there's no problem with another tenant.
Right.
Maybe having a date now in the arena.
I just think from this point forward, I certainly hope that every single detail it's spelled out. And I think it was to these people, too, just to make sure, you know, so we don't have to deal with as much of this. You know what I mean? So they know what they're getting before they get it. It's no problem.
No offense to Hagerstown, Maryland.
Right.
I think one of our smallest markets.
Right.
I think that this is a small market problem that you have.
Absolutely.
The people at the radio station.
I think that's a lot of fault lies there, too.
Anxious to make the sale. They probably told the people from the Ramada what they wanted to hear.
When a GM said, you guys can do it without having to do that, you know, that's when it said to me, he does not get it.
Right. Mr. Carlson.
Yeah.
Big J-O-er. Huge J-O-er. Constant J-O-er. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hi there.
We got there, as you know, that some people were getting charged. We got in there, and they told us $5, and we basically said, well, Dynamite, don't charge for their shows. And they said, and I quote, well, they're charging tonight.
That was a bold-faced line. That was an absolute bold-faced line.
I'm not making that up. That's exactly what they said.
Unbelievable.
We figured something was fishy, but we paid anyhow.
And that's the
You know, we apologize. I swear to God, if we would have known that before the show, frankly, there wouldn't have been a show.
I mean, when Don gets on the air and says, we do this because we want to say thank you to our listeners, that defeats the whole point. I mean, if you're charging people to come out and see a show, you're not saying thank you, you're saying pay us, and that's not the way it works.
That's not what we're about, man.
Hey, well, we didn't buy it when they said they're charging tonight. I mean, we absolutely didn't buy it.
That's too bad. We apologize. We didn't know, honest to God, we didn't know anything about
that. And I don't know how to make that right either. Because
we had a great time anyhow. It was worth it. I would have paid $5 for the great time we had.
Well, that show's worth a lot more than $5, but the whole point of it is that, you know, we do want to say thanks for listening to the show. We got a bunch of great listeners up there. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, the people up there were great.
Sucks on ice, man.
Well, we had a good time. We appreciate you guys.
Well, appreciate you guys coming out for the show.
Okay.
Sorry about
that. We'll be out again soon.
Yeah, I promise you won't be charged.
Yeah.
We've never charged at one of those shows. Never.
No, and that's just the thing we do. I mean, it's an old rule. It's a rule we've had for a long time, and anyone that has the rule explained to them understands it. It's just,
those efforts.
Yeah.
They really are.
Screw them.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Don, Mike, Buzz.
And everybody that had to pay should call WARK and get WARK to pay them $5.
Yeah, we made that pretty clear.
Sure. I mean, really, you should call that radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Call that general manager. Call Mr. J.O. Tell him you went to the show and you would charge $5.
Yeah, we knew nothing about that.
Hello?
Yeah, it's great to have you back on live here in Rochester.
Right, good to be live.
The House of Poon Chinese Restaurant.
Right, great to be live. Thank you, my friend. Listen, one more call before we must do a break.
Hey there.
It's Cheryl the Big...
It's the lesbian.
Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Hey.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, you know, even though those jucking firks that own that bar screwed you on Friday night, I had a great time.
I know, you did.
Listen. She was a honey. Can I tell you?
There was a beautiful woman with some major
quirky things on in front.
Major yabos that came up on stage for the Cheryl the Dyke challenge.
I've never seen Cheryl quite that happy.
I got a hot flash while I was up there. I'm telling you, I had to fan myself.
That's the most beautiful woman you've ever had, right?
Well, no, I've had beautiful women. No, but equal, but probably the most beautiful heterosexual woman I've ever had. I got to tell you, thanks to the homos, me and Homo Joe, we like opened that show and got the crowd a little oogied out, but I think we opened a few more.
Oh, that's a tremendous opening. Don't tip the hand, Cheryl. We don't want people to know exactly what it is.
I'll tell them what we did.
We love having you and homosexual Joe there. Big part of the show.
I got to tell you, though, I met a guy, the first guy I met when I walked in there, well, besides the bearded guy, the drunk,
right, that guy
who
right
I
there,
attacked me and hugged and kissed me for half an hour, was this guy Dave, he has no arms. This man has no arms.
I saw him in the crowd.
I didn't see him.
Rob, remember I pointed him out to you one point and said, look, hey, someone should tell Dennis about this guy.
I told him about that.
Because Dennis could feel better about himself. There was a guy in the stage, right in front of the stage. No arms, Mike.
Really?
No arms.
Oh, man.
He would jump up and down a lot.
He was in a motorcycle accident, and he lost him in a motorcycle accident, and the guy who was on the motorcycle with him got killed.
You know, now I remember there was a guy that I reached out to shake his hand as I was walking off the stage, and I thought he was just being rude.
No.
You should have seen this guy. He was in the front row, and he'd go like this when he was excited. He'd just jump up and down like this.
He never heard you on the radio before. Some friends brought him down there, and when I met him, he told me that he'd never met a lesbian before.
Wow.
So, I'm telling you, we did some good stuff. We opened some minds. He was very sweet.
That's our lineup there, too. We're opening minds.
By the way, did you see what was on the outside of that bar as I left? This huge mural of a mermaid with major Yabos. Out. And if they have that on the side of the building, at least they could let me take my shirt off.
Yeah, here,
right.
Here.
All right, Cheryl, you big dyke. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that's just part of the story of what happened on Friday night.
Uh-huh. Cheryl and Homo Joe, a solid opening. Nothing affected with that opening.
We do have some other stuff to tell you about that show Friday night. Oh, we got some weekend stuff to tell you.
Yes.
We got the Star Wars stuff. We got the Leah Remini coming on today.
What a show, what a show.
It's going to be a big one. Let's start right now with the toe, tapping touch toes.
What a shock. They were uncued.
Thank you, Jeremy. That's like Jeremy's going away present from Friday's show. Caller 100 right now. We got a prize package selected especially for you and your first chance this week to win $5,000. The next big free money show is a week from Friday.
Very exciting.
Would one person win $5,000? Why not you? Call us right now at 1-800-636-1067.
This is the dog.
Phone! I think that's my cell phone. Hold on, let me see. Oh, no, it's the DJ phone.
I hate it when you bring that up to the golf course.
Hello, it's not in my show.
Am I caller 100?
Yes, you are.
All right.
It's very annoying in a movie also.
It's so obnoxious
when my cell phone goes off. Oh, yeah, you're calling 100. What's your name?
My name's Dave. I'm calling from Citrus Heights. Sacramento.
Beautiful, Dave. Listening on KHTK, right?
Every day.
You have won a pair of passes to see... No, not that movie. The other movie. The Mummy. Mummy! With Brendan Fraser.
All right.
Yeah, listen to that excitement. That's good at any area AMC theater, but wait. There's more. You've also qualified to win $5,000 that we are giving away on this show a week from Friday.
Now that I'm really excited about.
Good. May 28th, one person wins $5,000 at our next big free money show. That money is courtesy of Advantage Title. I would read the commercial, except guess what? Jeremy put it somewhere. Hey, thanks, Jay. And he's still weaving his magic even 2 days later.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Advantage Title, for the money. Please be listening to the show on Friday, May 28th, right before Memorial Day, okay?
Hey, Don, I can't wait until the 18th. I'll be there out there at... Wherever the show's going to be.
Okay, very good. Wherever the show's going to be.
That's right. We have no idea where it's going to be just yet, but get rest assured, on the 18th of June, we are going to be in Sacramento.
And that's where I'll be.
And the Kings won't be in the playoffs.
No, that's too bad, but...
I only mention that because that means they won't be... They won't be playing basketball
on the 18th of June.
I was a pisser. That game was a pisser. Feel for the people in Sacramento.
Mm.
Because they were down. At one point, they were down as many as 12. They came back. They tied it. 4 seconds left, something like that. They got a chance to win. They go down. The guy misses a 5-foot shot.
Yep.
White chocolate. A big pussy last night came up a big loser. He wasn't even in the game for the last quarter because he sucked so bad.
C. Webb was held to just a few points, too, right?
Yes, that's right, Ahmad. He was.
Thank you.
He had a good game, though.
Yeah, he had a pretty good game, but not his usual game that he had when they won the games during the playoffs.
Yeah, they fell apart in overtime. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad. But oh well.
I tell you, I was, it was exciting basketball for me to watch.
You didn't even watch it.
No, I didn't.
Well, it's only a week of our lives that we invested in the Sacramento Kings. So I think we got our dividend out.
That's a shame because they really were in the hunt and it looked like they were going to go to the second round and they didn't do it.
We were behind them for 4 days.
Yes, we were.
We were right there with them. Okay, listen, a couple more things about Friday night.
Yes.
That I want to tell you about.
Right.
We did the show from the phone booth, and at one point, I think this is when we were still on the network. I don't think that, some stations drop us after 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The lady from the local TV station came in.
Right.
And she was the anchor. And even though she was the anchor lady, it's a small-time TV station, the main anchor came to the radio station, the anchor from the TV station came in. She had her own camera.
She did all the camera work. It's just small-time TV. This is the way it's done in a lot of small markets.
She's still wearing her TV makeup.
Right.
And I got a call from a friend on Saturday to say, you guys called it exactly right.
Right.
It was at the very end of the newscast.
Just a blurb.
They said, oh, and yes, Don and Mike were in town today. They got a national radio show. Stay tuned to Tonight's Show with Jay Leno this night.
Bingo!
That was it.
There it is.
So we leave the radio station. That was the last thing that happened on the show on Friday.
Right.
We leave the radio station, and we're going to go to eat.
Mm-hmm.
We're all driving caravan style down the one main road in this town. We're driving along. We don't know where to go. I pull up next to Mike, and I said, listen, I just saw a Japanese place.
Right.
I love sushi.
Right.
Let's go there.
I got very excited about it because, first of all, it's good to see a place like that in Hagerstown. And I have wanted to really try sushi, really, like, try it officially.
I was a little worried about how good the Japanese food would be in Hagerstown, Maryland. But
you were concerned. First of all, when we walked in, I said, is this the real deal? And you said, no, it's not. And then they handed you that
little extra menu that had all of the exotic dishes like octopus and stuff like that.
Squid.
So we make a U-turn at the Taco Bell, and we're driving down. It was Mike, me, Buzz,
and Charlie Stossel.
Mm-hmm. Four of us, four cars. Charlie Stossel and I pull into the restaurant, right? Because I was leading the way because I knew where the restaurant was.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie and I pull in, and we're waiting for Mike and Buzz, and we hear from outside the restaurant like a blood-curdling sound. We hear... Someone slamming on their brakes.
That was buzzing back at me.
And we thought, uh-oh, there's an accident out there. And then Charlie looks up and says, hey, that was Buzz. Buzz almost ran into Mike.
Yeah, I came up on it, and I think I was, like, looking at the cell phone or something. I wasn't paying attention. And then I noticed that you had pulled in. I said, I almost overshot the driveway. So I stopped very quickly, and Buzz, who I guess you were just driving by concentrating on my license plate or something like that. I have no idea how you
know. You know Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz follows.
Buzz can't get anywhere.
Buzz follows like nobody follows in the world. It is just tunnel vision. I don't think you look to your left or right. You follow the car in front of you. And when I slammed on my brakes, I heard this. I don't know how close you actually came to me.
I was about 5 feet back when I came to a stop.
No, you're closer than that, Buzz. Here's what happened. Don was in the lead. Mike was next in his big vehicle. I was right behind Mike, and behind me was Charlie Stossel. And while we were actually leading up to the U-turn, some stalker who'd been following us from the radio station worked his way in. He had a van, worked his way in between Stossel and I.
Oh, is that how Stossel worked his way in behind me then to the restaurant?
Well, at the moment that Mike looked at his cell phone or whatever, I looked in my rearview mirror to see if the stalker was still on my tail. And when I looked up, I saw Mike was stopped in front of me. So I slammed on the brakes.
That was
a two-footer, wasn't it? I locked up and...
It was for a while. There was a loud screeching sound.
It was amazing. We all made it. We made it into the restaurant.
So we go into this restaurant, Japanese restaurant.
I'm very excited about this because I'd never sampled real authentic sushi, and I'm kind of looking to you for guidance for this new cuisine.
Love it. Well, you know, when Buzz used to live out in my neck of the woods, Buzz and Marcia Freeman, I used to go to this one Japanese restaurant.
Buzz loves it too.
And we love.
Right? Charlie didn't want to have anything to do with it, and I was in the experimental mode.
So we go in this place, and there's like Tokyo Rose behind the counter. This old lady, had to be like 100 years old.
Right?
Your typical old Chinese, Japanese woman. And you know, we had to wait to get seated.
Right.
And there was nobody in this place. There was maybe four other couples in there.
Mm-hmm.
We go, we sit down, we order the stuff, and then the wait.
Now, you told me that the regular place you go to, they get that stuff out there, lickety split.
Fast, man.
Chop, chop.
We go to this place that we go to all the time. You walk through the door. Well, we go there so much, they know us by now.
They know what you're going to order, so it's ready to go.
Right. But... You know, we went this place, we order. It's like, how long can it take? It's not like you have to cook the food, right? Because it's all raw. Well, as it turns out, we had to wait 45 minutes.
We're getting kind of close to showtime here, so we're all a little uptight.
And the first guy to get us food was Chuck Stossel, who ordered food that had to be cooked. He ordered like a teriyaki.
Yeah, beef teriyaki, which I should have ordered. Looked good.
I mean, I thought that I, because you were funny.
Because you liked it. I really, I mean, to be honest with you, when I ordered everything and I was telling you, you know, what should I order this? Should I order this? I thought it was a slam dunk. I thought that I would legitimately like it. And I didn't legitimately like it. I hated it.
You were funny.
I really hated it. It for whatever reason, you know, you hear so many people say, oh, raw fish. But I always thought of the concept of sushi as something that I would personally like.
So, first thing Mike does is the food finally arrives. And we were, like, debating whether we should walk out of this place or not.
Yeah, we're 2 minutes away because we really have to, you know, go down and do that show.
It was getting close to the show. So, finally the food arrives. We all dive in. They bring these big, giant platters. And I said to Mike, you know what? Even though this is a hellhole,
this is great stuff.
This looks like good quality Japanese food.
Now, I must say that your plate looked great. Your plate looked like you had some stuff on there that looked great. Buzz's plate looked awesome. He had some kind of shrimp that looked just fantastic.
Well, didn't you order a lot of the same stuff that I had?
I thought I did, but I didn't.
Like
I didn't.
The spider rolls? You didn't order the spider rolls?
I didn't order the spider rolls. I think I ordered the snot rolls. That's the that's the one that I got.
That's the first thing that Mike says. Right. He is, Okay, I'm going to eat some of the stuff. You ordered some of the same stuff.
I think the first thing I took, because I like squid, the first thing I sampled was the squid.
And it was good. It was good squid, man.
Oh.
It was so good.
I thought maybe in terms of how it would taste cooked, but it was just like, I put it in the, I'm trying the chopsticks, and I take my little,
Hold on. That's the first time that you got mad.
Right.
Because Mike had like a pair of khakis on.
Right.
Oh. He tries to pick something up with the chopsticks.
And you have to pour the soy sauce and,
into this little bowl, and then you put the green stuff in there. The hot,
like horseradish.
The hot green stuff.
And it just explodes into the bowl. I dropped it with the chopsticks, and it hits like a megaton warhead, sending, you know, and hey, that soy sauce, real easy to get those things out. So I got it splattered all over my shirt.
Just to begin with.
Because we're up in Hagerstown, and it's not like I brought a suitcase with me. You know, I'm hoping I luck out. Hey, never again. We go on the road anywhere, I swear to God, it's going to be in my car. It's
bring an extra shirt.
It's going to bring
extra
pair of slacks. Everything. Extra underwear, the whole nine yards.
So he goes to eat this thing, and he spills it on himself, and he's already mad, which I think,
right,
kind of tip the scales.
I'll tell you this. I would give it another chance. I would give it another chance to try different stuff. But it was just...
Because he takes this thing and he picks up the same thing I got, the squid. And I'm eating it. And he says, how is that? I said, this is fantastic. Mike puts it in his mouth and he goes, this tastes like snot.
It did not. I was totally surprised because you're over there loving it and you're passionate about it.
It's a good meal.
And we've been on the road enough where we kind of know each other's taste in food and we kind of like the same stuff by and large. And,
yeah.
And I said, well, if he likes it, I'm going to like it. And I tasted this and it was just, blah. I didn't
like it at all.
There was nothing about it that I liked. And then when you try to block out the fact that you're eating something that's just a few minutes ago was breathing through its gills, and at that point it starts to snowball, and then I dropped it in the soy sauce. Sushi is something I will give it another chance, but I think it would be fun. There's nothing that couldn't be corrected with that meal that a deep fryer wouldn't have helped.
I think you're just a little uptight, that we were under some stress. You just left the radio station. Buzz almost ran into you. We had 5 minutes to get over and do the live show.
You can't enjoy any kind of meal.
Spilled your food on yourself. You're mad about that.
You can't enjoy any kind of meal in that situation. You really can't when you've got it, when you're up against the gun like that. So that might have contributed to it. And I shouldn't have had the squid. I wouldn't order the squid again.
Squid was good, man.
Yeah, the squid was good.
That was about as good as squid gets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, that was excellent squid.
It's simple. And next time... I won't order the squid the next time. It looked like some kind of tumor. It was white and it had ridges in it, and it didn't look like squid to me. It was gross.
And then I realized at one point that I was being like my mother was when I was a little kid with you, because I saw that Mike wasn't liking his food, and I felt guilty because I picked this place. So I started going like this in my place. Take my chopstick, I pick something, I go, Mike, I bet you'll like this. And I swear to God, if you would have opened your mouth, how gay would this have been? I would have fed you.
Yeah, well, that's when I grabbed it off your chopsticks. It's not too good. That's a classy move.
With his hands.
I got tired of using the chopsticks, so I just grabbed it. That was the spider roll, and that was the best thing I tasted. The spider roll was okay because it had something in there that tasted cooked. It was egg.
Right.
It had egg in it.
You got mad then, too, because I was holding this thing on my chopsticks. I said, come on, try this. You'll like this. You reach out, your big ham hands, your big, what do you call them?
My meat hook.
Your meat hook.
My Tahitian war club.
Right. He takes this thing, slams it in the little bowl with the soy sauce, and starts to fall apart right away. He says, look at this.
Look at this.
He said, nothing's good in this place.
Well, if it was cooked, it would hold together. And then we had a delightful ending to the meal, too.
We did.
We had a delightful, where you indicated that you were satisfied with your, you were totally satisfied
Loved
with
it.
Your meal, yes.
It was good.
That's when I had to run away from the table.
All right, I had a little gas. I had a death fart.
It was silent. It was silent. No one knew it was coming.
It was deadly.
It was a combination of that sushi bubbling up in my stomach a little bit, and then we made it out of it. But you said it was a sushi restaurant.
Good.
Yes. You give it a thumbs up, and Buzz, you do
solid. Great food. If I'm ever back in Hagerstown, and God, please, I hope I'm not, I'm going to go there.
I think I ate beef. Cooked beef all weekend after that to make up for it.
So we leave this place and we go back to do the show, okay? And then you already have heard about some of the headaches that we had at the show. Now keep in mind, Mike's already got the spots on him.
Yeah, I was able to,
from the soy sauce.
Put a jacket on and cover up most of the spots.
But then, at halftime of our Las Vegas show,
when you spilled the drinks on yourself, I have never seen you so mad that we just got done doing this thing on stage, and, like, I was yelling at these people, telling them, you know, what a-holes they are, because they would let us play the tapes, and I really hadn't laughed the whole time we'd been, like, the last 15 minutes on stage. I was so pissed.
Right, right.
We're back in the back room, and we're all just so mad, and I can't believe they're doing this to us.
It's really, you know, we were under duress for the entire evening, and it was, you were on stage, and you were exclaiming how angry you were, and when you do that, it doesn't work when two guys are doing that. And so I understand why you're pissed. I'm pissed too, but I kind of sit there and just, you know, you're doing that, and I'm internalizing all of it, and I internalized it up until the point where I spilled the entire cocktail shaker of Sambuca.
He went over and he sent us this big bar they had set up. He goes, you know, I'll tell you something. This place just sucks, man. We should have walked. And you go to pour this thing, and it's all over his lap.
Oh, it was it had this little cap on it, and I picked it up by the cap, which just conveniently lifted it up to 2 inches to get it above so it would pour all of it. And if anybody's ever had that lovely aperitif known as Sambuca, it's like maple syrup, okay? And so, it's all in my crotch.
I turn around and I see this, and for the first time, like in an hour, I really got something to laugh at. And I mean, my head goes back, and I'm laughing. And Mike turns around and screams at me. He goes, well, good. That's the first time you've laughed all night. I hope you're happy. And he goes and he walks in this door. And on the way out, boom! Slams the wall.
I'm so mad.
Oh, my God.
At that moment, right after I punched the door, I see. And that's when I look around at, like, the 18 bouncers that are all looking at me like, ooh.
So then Mike leaves the room, and I said to everybody, listen. When he comes back with a big wet spot on his pants from having washed his pants, nobody laugh. We've got a time bomb ticking here tonight. Nobody laugh at Mike's wet spot.
It was like, you know, it's one thing with a wet spot that's just water or something, but this was just gooey, ooey, syrupy stuff.
And did you hear when Wendell the engineer wanted to lend you a pair of his pants?
No.
Yes.
No, I missed that. He wanted to lend. Oh, boy, that would have been fun.
I said, I don't know how that's going to go over, Wendell. I said, I think I got an extra pair of pants in my truck.
Hi, these are my Wendell pants.
I said, I don't know how Mike's going to go for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. An interesting evening in
America. Oh, brother.
God.
Oh, brother.
That vein in my forehead was throbbing.
You know, even with all the crap, though, we still managed to have a good time, though.
By the end of the night, it was fine.
Oh. Last thing about the show.
Yes.
The other thing that was maddening about it is this little room that they had for us, like before the show and when we take our break at halftime, we were never alone. There was always managers and bouncers in there with us.
And it was tense because of, well, what we explained to you before.
Right, because, you know, we'd been arguing with the management there and stuff, and, like, we'd get done yelling at them and they'd get done yelling at us, and then we would go sit down and, like, we're having water and beers and stuff, and everybody was so pissed. So this guy that was running the video, the guy that wouldn't play the video.
Right.
At one point, after Mike, you know, spilled the stuff and he went and cleaned himself up, he came back in. He was cool. I said, all right, I got to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom. I come back in the room, and this guy's standing in there. This guy, his name was Opie, as it turns out.
Now, while you had gone to the bathroom, he came over to me. And this is the guy that you had had words with up on stage. So he comes over to me, and he's going to give me the explanation. Well, I'm sorry. No, this is not, you know, I said, if he wants to talk to anybody, he's going to talk to you about this. And he comes over to me, he says, hey, listen, I don't mean to bust you guys. So I said, oh, really? Wrong guy. You're talking to the wrong guy. So at this point, he retreats, and he goes to stand and wait for your arrival, and you come walking in, and he looked like he was going to shake your hands, and at that point you looked up, and because of the, you know, the whole thing that was going on all evening, you gave him that look which made him literally take a step backwards, because, you know, he wanted to, I don't know what he wanted to do, you know, he wanted to make nice or something, but the show had already been screwed up.
You know, I didn't even know that this was the same guy.
Right because he took his Drew Carey glasses off.
Right, we're on a dark stage, and I've been calling him Drew Carey, and we were up there. So we're sitting at this table, and we're, you know, kibitzing and stuff, but there's no doubt that there's some tension in the air, because we're not alone. It's like all the people from the hotel are in the same room with us.
Yeah, this is something that normally, under normal circumstances, for all the shows we've done, except for this one, that's normally not a problem.
Yeah, we like partying with these people. But
joking with people and having a good time.
These guys were dicks, and it was like it was cramping our style a little bit. So everybody's talking, and I was looking over at Charles Broyhill, and I was going, God, because the guy was standing like 2 feet away from us, just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
So finally he comes over to me and he goes, I just want to say that, you know, it's not my decision about the tape. It's not my decision. So I started in on the guy. And I said, wait a minute. Yeah, you know, I don't care whose decision it is. You guys are screwing us. And then Broyhill very calm.
Very, very, you know, he hadn't said anything. He doesn't say a lot anyway, but all of a sudden there was a speech from Mr. Broyhill.
Broyhill looks up at him, and he says, now keep in mind that I'm almost screaming at this guy.
Right.
This guy is nervous. Everybody's up to
Broyhill. I'm dabbing at my crotch.
Broyhill looks up at him, and he says,
first off, you stopped the tape. No one was up there.
Mm-hmm.
That was your decision.
Second off, that was a bad mood. Bad move.
Mm-hmm.
Third, leave.
Right.
And the guy looks at Broyhill like,
right.
Huh? And then Broyhill says to everybody in the room, everybody leave. Everybody get out.
And at that point, it was so appropriate because it's what needed to be said.
We loved it.
It was just something where we all needed to kind of just huddle for a little bit and relax. And
so as soon as they left,
right,
it's like everybody started laughing.
That was the mood elevator of the evening because it was
goofing around. We did the best we could with that show.
We did indeed. We did it with one for the ages, ladies and gentlemen.
Christ.
It really was.
What a mess that was.
It was indeed.
What a mess. Had a nice two-hour drive home. Yeah, then I get home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and my child bride's still not home. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she comes in, and I'm like, hey, where have you been?
Right.
She said, I was out with Lauren, with Lee Marshall. Where have you been? I said, where have I been? I've been sitting at home the last 2 hours wondering where you've been.
They had a wonderful evening, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Don on my show.
Yeah, you guys have the impression when you walked in that room, like I did, like, here's this room that looked like it belonged in New York City, and it was going to be an awesome thing. I mean, tremendous lights.
You mean Barracudas? Yeah. No doubt.
Great facility.
Great stage.
Yeah, it's the kind of place we like to do. Yeah, stage, relatively speaking, you know, we like just a little more room up there, but by and large, the sound system, the lights, the places for people to see, very good.
You wouldn't think that a cheap Fleabag hotel like that would have such an outstanding,
right,
like, showroom, but they did. It was
great watering hole.
It was great.
I'm from Baltimore, and, you know, you look around, and you know, somebody has a flashlight, and they call that their light show. You go out there, and this place is phenomenal, and I'm expecting to see maybe you guys say this is the best you've ever been to and done, and, you know, it turned out the opposite of it. I mean, it was still a good time.
It was still a good time, but, you know, well, we've explained it. We've been over it.
All right, come on, we've been there. Well, here's the guy who says that the guy with no arms got in a fight. Hello, Tim?
Yeah.
Who got in a fight with the guy with no arms?
I was standing up watching you guys during intermission, okay? You guys just left, and then all of a sudden, I looked, there was a commotion down in front of me. I looked down, here's a guy with no arms.
Oh, my.
He's getting into a fight with a guy with arms.
Oh, my God.
This guy with arms was on top of the guy. The security comes in like no time.
With the guy with no arms.
I mean, you know, your ethics take over a little bit there. You know, I'm going to throw a punch.
The funniest part about it was, after, like, security realized, well, hey, this guy doesn't have any arms, he's not going to do anything. Well, the guy with arms, they, like, grab hold of him and they're escorting him out. Well, the guy with no arms is, like, up against trying to, like, getting ready to want to fight him again.
What's... Wouldn't put those in our hands.
And pity the poor son of a gun that gets them and doesn't know what he's getting.
No, I think Bob's going to save those.
Those are just for Bob.
I'm encouraging you to come out for that World Series of Poker. I go watch it every
good
year.
Man.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've heard a rumor about some kind of altercation.
No arms. Okay, so you got no arms and you're getting in a fight. How funny is that?
It's one of our typical crowds.
A guy with no arms getting in a fight with a guy with arms.
You know, with all that was said and done with that show, at least we had one of our typical crowds up there.
Oh, my gosh. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Homo Joe here. How you doing?
Homosexual Joseph, you son of a gun.
That fight broke out right in front of me while I was trying to pick up the women for the underwear contest, too. Let me tell you, that was scary.
Homo Joe, who, you know, joined us up in Hagerstown, I think he arrived on Wednesday.
Yeah. Homo Joe, just let me tell you something. Love having you there. Big part of our live show. Don't come to the radio station anymore. And there's a goose. I was on Homo Joe overload on Friday. For goodness sakes. You know, he was there before we were there at the radio station.
I think you took the whole day off, didn't you, Homo Joe?
I have off every other Friday.
Oh, there you go. That's the reason. All right.
Yep. And then the other thing that was interesting, and break the front on the left-hand side, the man was puking on his wife in a wheelchair, the story said.
Oh, a man in a wheelchair.
Oh, my God.
Did you say a man in a wheelchair was vomiting on his leg?
The woman was in the wheelchair, and the guy was puking on his wife over top of her.
What a show, what a show.
Showbiz.
Sometimes it's a better show going on in the audience than up on stage.
But that stage setup looked like Edith and Archie Bunker, you know, those two big chairs.
Yeah, they had the two chairs. Really
Homo Joe, hold on. Gotta go, because I got a guy, last call on this. Guy who says he saw the man with no arms in the bathroom.
Ah.
Hello. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, listen, first of all, I was one of the dancers up there for the male underwear contest.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I didn't win, but I had fun.
Okay.
I was in the bathroom, and I saw the guy with no arms, and his friend was in there helping him go to the bathroom. I mean, they were just chit-chatting as they walked in, and I realized he had no arms. They went to the back stall, and his friend, I mean, this is a measure of friendship, unzipped for him and took it out.
Well, I mean, what do you expect?
How else can he do it, right?
And I said to my buddy, I was like, listen, if I had no arms, would you do that for me? And he said, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a really good
player. Oh, number two.
Oh.
I mean, how do you imagine that? He's a guy says, the guy with no arms says, hey, I got to go number two.
Boy, I just hope he eats a lot of bran.
Hey, listen, did you guys happen to catch the girl's name that would not dance for Charlie? Because I was up on the stage after
I think Rob knows her name. Rob, what was her name?
Her name was Paula.
Oh, my goodness. That's nasty.
It was one girl.
When I got to dancing, I was up there talking to her, and I felt a little bit of rapport building with this young lady. But as soon as the show was over and you guys left the stage, she was gone.
Out of there.
Charlie Sosa.
Followed Charlie to his car.
Charlie Sosa was working on this woman that he wanted to be in the underwear fashion show. I mean, Charlie Sosa actually stopped the show one time.
Yes, to beg this girl to do it. He likes his favorites. When Charlie's up on stage, it doesn't matter if there are 1,000 people there. If he has a favor, he will focus on that favor.
So he stops the show to go get this girl to join the contest. And it's like, so now we're begging this woman. And frankly, she's kind of a pig. I mean, who really wanted to see her in her underwear anyway?
Right.
So Charlie goes and begs her. She comes out. Everybody starts applauding. And then she goes, No.
She quits.
She came out.
I just can't do this.
That's when Rob's anger came to the forefront, and Rob was screaming, whore, whore, whore.
Rob got everybody in the crowd to start screaming, whore, whore, whore.
That's right, that's right.
And then everybody started screaming at the same time. There's no reasoning with a whore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. You can't reason with a whore.
That's what they were screaming.
Nice job.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob, for a good time.
All right. Well, that's everything. We've heard the no-arm man. We've heard the guy throwing up on his wife in the wheelchair.
Yeah, that was it. That was our Friday night in Hagerstown.
Friday night in Hagerstown, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold on, we're up on a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Hey, look, there's a Sabre Cafe opening right here in Springfield. Will you take me back, please? I'll show you how to order pizza over the internet.
The internet? That thing's still around.
I have a website that shows monkeys doing it, but the internet is more than a global pornography network. It's a...
Come on, pizza! Monkeys!
Making America scream. Oh, monkeys. The Don and Mike Show.
More people are still online to talk about Hagerstown.
Ah, yes. Well, there was a lot going on.
All right, let's fly through these real quick.
Then I got some weekend stuff to tell you.
Some kooky weekend stuff.
Yeah.
First, here's a black guy that pulled out his thing on stage. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Hey, my brother. Hey.
Hey, man. Hey, I just whipped it out to show everybody that says hello from Greenville, man. I came all the way from Greenville to see you guys.
You came from Greenville? Oh, how come you didn't tell me that, man? How come you didn't tell me that?
Man, I came 500 miles, man, to see you guys, so I just wanted to stand out a little bit.
You did.
Hey, listen, man, let me tell you, when I went outside, man, this guy, like, kind of, like, debriefed me, man, the little manager dude having the Madonna headset.
Right.
He was like, well, let me tell you something. You're banned from this club from now on. I said, F you from everybody from Greenville, man. And he was like, get off my property, get off my property.
I got to take a little responsibility, because this guy was sitting up on stage,
right,
waiting to dance, you know, the male underwear fashion show, and he leaned over, he said to me, hey, Don, can I pull out my, he's using other words for his penis,
right,
can I pull out my penis, and I said,
normal circumstances. We didn't have the evening we had, he said, hey, you better not do that, but, you know, what the hell, right,
and he went out there and, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
For a while before, because they were, you know, with all their uptightness, they were definitely slow on the trigger to get you off that stage.
I just want to say, everything that you've heard about block guys is true.
Yeah, man, he fit the stereotype.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, everybody up here in Greenville loves you, man. I was also at Dennis Murphy's Saskatoon appearance when he came up. And I bought a couple of T-shirts when I was up there. And I just wanted to say I had a great time, man. And I just wanted to say hello to Mether and, I mean, yeah, Mether. Heather and Matt from Germantown. I met them while I was up there. They were great.
Most of the white guys in the crowd were looking at you with awe and envy.
I know. Hey, well, I just had to whip that thing out.
All right, goodbye.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Oh, Christ, there's the devotion. 500 miles, and he didn't even get to see the full Las Vegas show.
No, he did not. But he was a great participant.
Hello, Don and my show.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mike.
Oh, okay, hold on. Roy's mom tells me that this is the girl, and don't say exactly what happened.
Okay.
The girl that was involved with Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Yes, very good. Yeah, because we don't want to let the secret out for future Las Vegas sessions.
Oh, not at all. Okay. Well, I wanted to say you haven't mentioned John. He was Homo Joe's friend.
Ah, yes, John, the guy that got up on stage, because it paled in comparison to your challenge,
but
right?
That is why I got up there. I had to compete with him. My boyfriend and I had met him earlier.
On behalf of everyone associated with the show, I would like to invite you to every single Las Vegas show from this point forward.
And especially those shows that allow us to show the female body.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, had the strip show been naked, I would have been all over that one.
Oh, boy. Oh, brother. Yeah, you come anytime you want to the show, of course.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I have a perfect mental picture in my mind.
Oh, yes. I know Buzz does, too, when she was signing the release form, right,
yes.
Buzz?
Yes. Well, she was wearing a low-cut dress, and she had to bend over a bit to sign the form.
I noticed.
It wasn't a dress, Buzz. It was a dress shirt. It was a white dress shirt that she was wearing with some sort of lingerie.
Well, I wasn't really looking at the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Blue jeans.
Yes.
Sandals.
Blue jeans sandals.
I love John Mike show.
Well, Don Mike.
Hey,
I just want to let you know, sorry about that lung butter. I just want to let you know, we drove up from Virginia to see your show.
Are you out of breath? Are you okay? You seem out of breath. You want to take a good, big, deep breath?
Yes, thanks.
All right.
We drove up to see your show Friday.
Yes.
And they got some kind of goofy law in Maryland that you're not allowed to have a side B license.
What is a side view license?
Like in Virginia, if you're under 21, you get a picture with a side shot of your face.
Profile photo on your license itself.
No, like a bad guy picture.
Right.
Oh, you mean if you're under 21, you can't get in anyway?
Well, no, in Virginia, you get a license, and it's good for 5 years. And so my wife, who had turned 21...
I don't follow this guy.
Hold on a second.
You're not old enough to get into this place anyway, right?
No, we are. My wife had just turned 21.
Well, how old are you?
26.
Oh, you're 26.
But you still have the license picture that has the side view?
Right. And you don't have to get a new one for, they're good for, 5 years.
All right, now I understand what you're saying. So you were both 21, but they didn't accept your form of ID.
Right, just because of that goofy law.
I've never seen
side view
picture.
Me either.
Side view.
Me either.
Really? Rob, they have those?
I got one when I was 16.
Really?
Really?
Hmm. How come they don't give you a real one when you're 16
because
in this
state? Because that helps people spot underage quicker.
Well, listen. Oh, okay, for under the age of 21.
No, if you're over 21.
If you're 26, you probably should have gone to the DMV sometime to get a frontal.
I have one. My wife doesn't. She just turned 21.
Oh, she had just turned. Well, yeah. And really? Had she?
She did.
Oh,
right,
there it is.
So
here we are, taking a hook, line, and sinker.
Right. Sorry. Okay.
So we have to talk to that dick manager.
Yeah.
I was hoping you guys were going to bash that show because that guy just seems like such a dick.
All right. Thank you. Gotcha. Didn't that guy sound like he's about 15?
Yeah. I suspect the. I suspect that everything was not what it is.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, God. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Hello, Murphy.
Hey, I thought that guy was no hand.
No, Dennis. Dennis, that guy didn't have no hand. That guy had no arm.
No arm, but he should have called how he smoked a cigarette.
How did he smoke a cigarette? How did he do it?
Well, someone put a cigarette in his mouth, and then he went to a candle and lit it himself.
Right, and then he just kept it in his mouth?
Yeah. I can't believe that.
How does he bump the ashes off, though?
What he would do is open his mouth and kick the cigarette a couple times.
Mix it with his tongue?
Yeah.
Well, what, Robbie?
He would sort of let it ride up and then pop it down.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good at it.
That's right. Good show.
An excellent show.
I smoked a lot of cigarettes if I didn't have any arms.
Of course. Yes, Dennis, what else?
No, but I meant to say sorry to Stacy. I ended up calling her back, and the manager threw her out.
Yeah, we had a call about that.
Now, hold on. She's on line number 3. Here is Stacy. Hello, Stacy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Stacy.
Hi, Dennis.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I just, that guy was a complete jerk. He grabbed my arm, didn't even let me talk, and told me he was going to call the cops if I didn't leave. He was a complete jerk.
Now, am I correct in assuming you just asked Dennis to sign, like, above your bra line? It wasn't like he was signing a naked breast.
You take your whole boob out?
Correct.
Oh, so you did?
He took a whole thing out.
He took the whole thing out.
The whole boob out.
Oh, all right.
Well, all right. Thank you, though, Stacey. Hold on a second. I got another Stacey.
I love when we get all the details.
Yeah, another Stacey online says she kissed Dennis, but she wants everybody to know she was very drunk. Hello, Stacey?
Hi.
Hi, you kissed Dennis, but you want everybody to know you were drunk?
Why? Who said that?
Well, that's what it says. She kissed Dennis, but wants everybody to know she was trashed. Stacey?
Hello?
That's
not the right Stacey.
Hold on. Is this the Stacey that kissed Dennis?
Yeah, I kissed Dennis.
Were you trashed?
Well, a little bit.
Is that what you told our screener?
Yeah.
Okay, then I think we've gotten to the truth now, haven't we, Stacy?
He signed my shirt, the white T-shirt I had on.
Yes.
One.
Yes. Yes, you're listening to the radio. Please don't do that.
Can you hear me?
What did I do?
What's going on, dear? Where are we?
Did you call us, Stacy?
Yes.
Okay, you're on the radio.
Okay.
Now, Stacey, you had a story you wanted to tell?
Well, I was the one to come up and kiss Dennis.
Yes? and you were trashed?
Yeah.
Okay, good story. Thank you.
Thanks, Stacey.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Great story. Great story.
Well, Murphy, you've weaved your magic once again.
I'm sorry.
No, the thing is, don't worry about it. I think we're still getting residuals from Hagerstown today. Just a little.
Dynamite, thank you. I ended up walking home with $450.
Oh, with the T-shirt sale.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Jesus Christ,
you did good, Dennis.
Way to go, Den.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. Like, if it wasn't for you, I would be a peon.
That's great, though. That's better than you did with your other treats.
I think you still are a peon, Dennis, but you're a peon with $450 in your pocket.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
Okay, oh, and listen, Dennis, here's another shocker for you. Remember on Friday when we had that aborted segment with the girls calling in?
I bet you both girls could cry.
They did. They were all faking.
I could have told you that.
Because nothing on this show went right on Friday because Jeremy was in charge of the phones and stuff. So we're going to have to open up the phones again.
Well, that's good news for all the people that want to participate in the Beach House.
Yeah, we'll do that again. I don't know if we have time today or not, but if not today, we'll do it tomorrow, definitely.
Okay. I would love to have some more Dennis Murphy bitches.
All right, thank you, Dennis.
See you later.
All right, see you later.
All right, goodbye. Put a little money in his pocket. He sounds a lot calmer.
Sure.
Good.
Don and Mike show.
Hi, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Am I on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hello. I was just calling. I was wondering if you got to a chance to see your letter, the article in the magazine, Pitch Magazine.
Pitch Magazine?
Nope, what is that?
It's an underground music magazine.
Hold on. Just been handed it. Is this the one that has the review of our Las Vegas style show in it?
That's correct.
Yep, we'll read that at some point. Got it on my stack of stuff to do.
Oh, well, I guess that's the only reason I really called up.
And can I ask you a question just based on this call so far? Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
She's got to be good looking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I have a sister that looks like Tia Carrere.
Yeah. What about you?
Did you ever see Frank and Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet?
No, but I bet you're hot.
I bet you were Juliet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Olivia Hussey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Lovely.
Thank you, Hef. Hef Burbank with a tip in. Pun intended tip in.
Olivia, what a Hussey.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, read that at some point here on the show. One last thing from Friday night.
Yes.
Rob and Charlie Broyhill went to eat at Denny's after the Las Vegas-style show.
Gillespie!
And I happen to know that Rob saw someone that we're interested in at the show.
Really?
Yes. A kind of a celebrity sighting.
I know you all were wondering where all the people go after a Las Vegas-style show.
Sure, of course.
They all go to Denny's.
Denny's.
But you remember the lady who was in the ugly breast contest that no one thought was a lady?
Remember, we all know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, saying, that's a man, babe.
Right. She came strolling in.
Did you have any conversation?
No, I avoided my eyes.
Did you observe what she may have ordered? Or
no, she went to the baggy restaurant, but she appeared to be on a date with a guy.
And was it dressed as a man or a woman?
It was dressed as a woman, and the only discussion that Charlie and I had was, he must be warned before it's too late. But we did not.
it was just a marvelous day at Denny's.
Oh, fantastic.
Me and my partner, Charlie Boyle.
You guys, did you drive up together?
Yes, yeah.
And you drove back together.
That had to be a sweet 4 hours in the car together.
Sometimes. I think we both had a lot of fun.
They're coming around on each other.
Yes, they are. My partner.
All right, get out of here, Robbie. Thank you.
Yeah, they saw the she-man. We thought that it might be a he.
Sure.
Okay, toe tap and touch tones right there.
Good.
Let's do another caller 100, because we're getting so close to this $5,000. We're going to give away lots of chances for you to win the money.
Excellent.
And a prize package selected especially for you right now. If you call her 100, call Roy's mom. She's waiting to take your call. And incidentally,
Wearing another skimpy outfit today.
Yes, yeah. She is.
For all you guys in the beach towel club.
And our phone number is 1-800-636-1067. Caller number 100 right now. And good luck. We'll see you back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Drew's bike shows up. I'm taking off, but he's not here right this second.
Okay, beautiful.
You know, when you have a kid that's 14, that's basically what your life is.
You're basically waiting for the kid.
Sit around, wait for him so that we can take him to his next appointment.
All right. Yeah.
Take him to his next sports event. Take him to his next dance. Right. Take him to his next study group.
And by the time that's all over, you know, you're still, you know, uptight about your kids when they're adults, and then you die.
So listen, on Saturday...
Yeah.
I'll give you the weekend in a nutshell. Saturday, I'm very tired all day because, you know, we were up late on Friday night. And right. Plus, my wife didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning because she was out with all you other gals.
And what were you ladies doing anyway?
We had a wonderful time.
I heard.
So Saturday, there's no doubt about it. I was a little logy on Saturday. And Frida kept saying to me, let's do something. Because my son was going out, some friends on Saturday night, going a little get-together. Right. And she said, let's do something. Frankly, I was not motivated to do something. So I was trying to think of something she'd want to do. I said, okay, let's go to the mall.
Right.
Yeah. And then here's the first lie that I hear this weekend.
It's not a lie. Frida you says, don't know me one little bit.
She says, I don't like to go shopping.
Shopping.
Please. She says, I need a vacuum cleaner. I said, well, listen.
Oh, there's a...
Fantastic. Let's go buy a new vacuum
cleaner. There's a whoopee time.
So we go through this back and forth, back and forth. Finally, we go to the movies. And we're going to go see the movie that you recommended, Election. Okay?
Okay. All right.
We get to the theater Saturday night, about a half hour before the show. Damn thing is sold out.
Ooh, really?
Sold out. Election. Wow. Sold out. So we went to see Entrapment instead.
Right.
Yeah. Mucho good movie.
So good.
And another movie that I'll say, better than Star Wars.
Ah, very good.
Entrapment. Wow. Very good movie. I was very happy about that. And I'm feeling good because I'm thinking, you know, here I am, out with my wife.
Right.
Showing her a good time, even though, you know, I'm dragging ass.
Sure.
Got home. Everything's cool. Sunday. Took her out. Bought her the vacuum cleaner.
Ah, the one she wanted?
Yeah.
Good.
Went to Best Buy. I said, honey, splurge, buy the Dirt Devil.
I get the good one.
Because, you know, she stood there for 20 minutes looking at these damn things.
Well, oh, we have a lot of dog hair, and I wanted a good one. But, you know, there's some really expensive vacuums out there. So we got, you know, the mid-range vacuum.
Well, she, of course, is standing there for 20 minutes. By the time I got done looking at the videos and the video games and the CDs, I just went over and said, listen, here's the one we're getting.
Oh, there he is. Oh, okay, that's all right. I'll tell him to hurry up. Go ahead.
How could he be calling me?
But no, that's not him on the phone. That's the phone's ringing, and he's driving up.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, go ahead.
Well, no, that's all right. I'm on the portable phone.
Oh, all right. Then I'll save the dinner for her. I just want to know what was going on last night.
Hey, Bart, you got to finish in 5 minutes, baby. Come on.
All right, I just want to know what was going on last night. A big part of my weekend revolved around watching the Sacramento Kings game on Sunday night,
right.
Okay? There's no doubt about it.
Right.
The weekend was planned around me watching this basketball game on Sunday night.
Yes, we're listening to you.
I'm glad someone is, Mike.
I wanted to let you know that. I mean, it was just, you know, for a moment.
So we did all this other stuff that my wife wanted to do with the preconceived thought that at 5:30 on Sunday,
right,
I want to be in front of the TV to watch the Sacramento Kings.
So nothing is really planned.
Right. But we go out to dinner, we buy the vacuum cleaner, we do all this crap. We got home, I'm sitting in front of the tube, watching the game,
right,
watching them get their asses kicked, hoping that they'll come back. She's outside. She's doing yard work outside and other junk. Mm-hmm. At about 7:30 last night, just as Sacramento is clawing their way back into the game.
A beautiful evening in Washington, but it was dusk, temperature perfect 72 degrees.
Here is the total, this is the double standard of all time.
Right.
Because I'm constantly saying to my wife, let's do it now. Let's make love now. And I'm always getting from her, no, not now.
Right.
Now is not a good time. Wait until 10:30 tonight. And she never wants to do it on a spontaneous note. She comes to me and she says, you know, it's so beautiful outside. Let's take a blanket and let's go outside right now. Keep in mind, it's like it's daylight and stuff outside. And
it's very secluded spot.
My kid, Heather.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
My kid is sitting right in the next room. And what? I said to her, are you crazy? First off, I'm watching this very important basketball game. Second off,
very
I think
important
just heard Bart go.
Like, you couldn't take a break.
Second, it's light outside. Third, our kid is walking around. You want me to just go outside and bone you outside?
I think I just heard him in the background go, ew.
Yeah, but he even told his dad he had marital obligations.
And then here's the worst part. So I say to Frida, absolutely not. No, listen, I said, I'm in the middle of doing everything. I don't want to go outside. It's daylight outside. I said, no, absolutely not. Well, the next thing, you know, she does that. She tells, now, how healthy is this? She tells Bart. So the next thing, my son comes in and he says, Dad, take Mom out. Okay. And I said, do you know what she wants me to do outside? And he said, yeah.
Oh.
And I said, and then I looked at Fred and I said, listen, now absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, forget about it. No way. So I'd just like to know what was going through your mind last night.
Two glasses of wine were going through. Come back from a lovely dinner. I'd had a couple glasses of wine. It was a beautiful night out. I was feeling lusty towards my handsome husband.
You must have been bombed, baby.
And some men would be thrilled to have their wives.
Honey, it's 7:30 on a Sunday night. You know, the neighbors could see us, for goodness sake.
It was a very secluded spot I found for us.
I said, why don't we just go up to the bedroom? Oh, no. We have to go outside.
Under the stars or under the soon-to-be stars.
To be with nature.
Yeah, so you promised me this morning, and you didn't. You said after you took Bart to school this morning.
Yeah, and you didn't believe me when I told you that last night either.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to have sex outside.
Yeah,
I want to have sex in our bedroom.
Some people do. Some people do have a little bit of creativity.
Honey, I'm all for creativity. Let's just be creative in the bedroom.
Okay, you tell me how to be creative, and you tell me what you would do that's creative.
Bring in, like, a branch or something.
You won't wear costumes.
Costumes.
You won't
play act.
I just want to have straight sex with you. That's all.
You won't do it. Yeah, but don't tell me you'll be creative, because you won't even let me put music on.
You know what being creative is? Doing it at a time unlike 10:30 every night, which is our time.
Yeah, all right, I'm willing to change the time if you're willing to change the setting.
Since when? What is wrong with our bedroom?
What? What's wrong with 10:30 at night? Come on, Bob.
Yeah, you used to do it like in closets and things like that.
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, shut up, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, we have. We've done it in closets or something. I would do it in the closet with you.
Oh, whoopee. The different rooms, so I want to, you know, I'd like it to be a different atmosphere.
You're going through some kind of change again.
No.
This is like some chemical thing with you.
Now, I just thought it was a good idea, spontaneous, that I knew you wouldn't go for it. You never do.
All right, because I don't like sex.
No, you don't. You are too Catholic.
Funny.
You don't like... When we were married, we did it outside one time, and you were freaked the whole time. Do you remember?
No, when did we... Where, by Lake Needwood?
No. That we didn't do it then.
Well,
it was
Needwood.
On Assateague Island.
I know where Lake Needwood is.
Yeah, Rockville. Yeah, we used to go make out there when we were dating.
No.
Very romantic
spot.
No,
we did it on the dunes.
Yeah, I remember. It sucked.
And you were freaked. Right, because you couldn't relax.
Were there sand fleas?
Not me.
Outside, man. You know, we got a nice... And plus, my son is... You know, once you brought him into the equation...
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You lost any chance.
No chance. Let's be honest. All right, next time, if he's not around, do I have a chance?
If there's not an important basketball game on, perhaps.
All right, good.
You know,
it has to be no sports season.
Honey, you know I've been waiting all weekend for this one game. All weekend I've been waiting for one game to come on.
What if I let you bring a little radio?
Oh, come on, please. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Do you have a shed?
No, we don't have a shed.
Yeah, get you sure.
Let's go outside right now. She's do me outside. I said, what? Are you crazy?
That's a bad time, though. I mean, for...
7:30.
7:30 on Sunday night. You're on a couch somewhere. Most American males, seriously, at that time, are on a couch, you know, in that download mode.
I said, if you really want to do it, let's go upstairs. You know, I'll knock your brains out. And she said, no. Outside, it's so romantic outside. What are you, crazy? And then next thing you know, my son's coming in. He goes, hey, come on, Dad, do it.
I don't blame you there.
And I said, oh, listen,
you there on that one.
Get out of this room.
Yeah.
Get out right now.
That's it. We share the Catholic thing on that
right.
one. Stop it. Okay, all bets are off.
Right, and then she starts the big guilt thing when she goes, well, if the Sacramento Kings are more important than my happiness. I said, yes, they are. Pardon me for being a bad husband and father, because I don't want to take you outside where the next-door neighbors are going to see me boning you out by the tree in the backyard. For goodness sake.
You know, there are certain neighbors that actually would do that just in the hopes that their neighbors would see them.
Buzz and Marcia, who I thought of immediately.
There's a danger element. Sure, if it makes it exciting. I've never lived in a neighborhood like that, but I know that they exist.
Charlie, Broyhill, hold on. Take Leah Remedy on our next break.
Okay.
He's on the phone. Oh,
I think he did that.
I didn't know you were in here.
He's not getting any duck when you were really
just. You wrote it on the computer. Leah is on the phone. Do you want her now?
Right.
One more break. I'll go right to break here.
Righto.
Okay, good.
He goes, Denny's boy.
The other thing I want to tell you about.
Yes.
The other thing about this weekend. On Sunday, before we went, you know, through this thing in my house, we went out to dinner.
Right.
Because my wife was in this big thing. Let's do something. We went out. We bought the vacuum cleaner. We ran all the errands. We go out to dinner. There's a person. We go to a restaurant by our house. We're sitting down. Just me and Freedom Bart. Right?
Right.
We're having a nice meal. Sitting there. Waitress comes up. Now, she's already taken our drink orders and stuff and taken our food order. She comes up and she goes back over. She goes, excuse me, but you're Don from Don and Mike, right? And I go, oh, yeah. Yes, I am. And she says, oh, I never listen.
I hate that.
And I'm looking at her like,
I hate that. That happens too.
You know, and I didn't say anything to this waitress. Like,
right.
Well, then why did you approach me if you don't listen?
What is the reason for that?
She says, and it wasn't I listen sometimes. And she said, I never listen. And so I just smiled. I looked at her like,
that's good. It's good that you smile.
Thank you.
What is the point, then? That's right. What I don't understand.
You know, thank you. That will be reflected in your tip, you dumb bitch.
Uh-huh.
Except the problem is I had to still leave her a big tip because I said to me she knows who I am.
I know. Right.
Now if you don't leave her a big tip, she's going to say I'm a dick. But what do I care? She doesn't listen anyway.
Well, what the hell did she say that for? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. Hi, you're Don. Don and Michael, right? I go, well, yeah, yeah. I don't listen.
You know what that
That's
might
be? That's the next word out of her mouth. I never listen.
I think I know what that is. Right. I think I know exactly what that is. That is somebody else who is working there that is maybe waiting on another table or working in the joint that sees you and says, find out if that is you know,
off. Well, still, you could be a little brighter if you're the waitress.
I mean, yeah, you could.
You could just not say anything. You could just say, yeah.
Does
yeah.
not realize that she has insulted you.
Right. Like, well, that's great. Why don't you go spit my food now?
You make me feel better.
Thank you. I'm going to leave you a one penny tip.
I'd never listen.
So, like, during the whole dinner, I was steaming on that. I said to my wife and my son, I said,
sure.
Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? Are you Don from Don and Mike? I never listen.
I know.
You know, we should get up and walk out of the restaurant right now. Oh, come on.
Did anybody else from the restaurant come over to say hi or anything
no.
like that?
No. Not a soul. Yes, sir. And then she didn't say anything else about it, like, for the whole rest of the meal. And I'd like to point out, she effed up the order. I asked specifically for no baked potato, and I asked for a Caesar salad. I got a house salad with side dressing, and she brought me a baked potato.
And you still had to tip her big, so the reputation of being a bad tipper would be
right.
out there.
Oh, man.
Right, Buzz.
Right.
When you have total anonymity, you can leave whatever tip you want.
Right. Oh, what a weekend. And then right after that, I get home, and that's when Maury pulls this nature boy thing on me. Are you crazy? Not to mention the fact that it was in the best part of the game.
So the weekend went by too quick.
Too quick, Mike.
Too quick, Dave.
I only wish I was still at home right now. Enjoying my family.
Super getting ready to go out on the blanket.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, caller 100.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Thank you for waiting. What is your name?
Richard from Sacramento.
Dick, caller 100.
Yes, sir.
Good old KHTK. And you, my friend, have won another pair of passes to see... The Moomy!
Moomy!
Well, she was going to be the other one, but no, it's the Moomy.
Moomy?
Starring Brendan Fraser, good at any AMC theater, but wait.
There's more.
You've also qualified to win $5,000. Our next big free money show is 2 weeks from Friday. That is on, or 2 weeks from last Friday.
Yeah.
1 week from this Friday. The 28th, next Friday.
The 28th.
My anniversary, so I'm going
to
win.
And we're giving away $5,000 to one person, courtesy Advantage Title. Are you refinancing your home? Please insist on Advantage Title. Call Robert or Tom. Advantage Title. I said Advantage Tile at 1-800. Robbie gave me the wrong number.
They know their way around tile, though, too. Well, it should be pointed out.
It's Advantage Tile. Yeah. Advantage Tile. We kiss the bottom of Advantage Tile.
That works.
352-2840.
Yeah.
God love them. Advantage Tile. We thank them for the money. Hold on, please.
Thank you, sir.
Hold on. And thank you for listening. Next big free money show is next Friday. Now.
Yes.
We got to get our Kevin James tapes together.
Yes.
Because when we come back, we'll have a big confrontation with King of Queens star Leah Remini.
And a very funny lady.
Be right back.
This is the Don. They always campaign for Bush. Don and Mike.
I was Kevin, of course, from King of Queens, and Leah will be on in a second. Let's wait before we hit her over the head with the stuff that Kevin said.
Oh, I think we have to build up to a very slowly, you know, established rapport.
While we wait, we got about a minute until she calls in.
Very good.
Let me just billboard this coming up on the show. After all the screaming we did and everything about Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah.
We got tickets to give away.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
I mean, we got a living to make here.
So we will be giving away tickets every day this week through the first screening. I guess we got to do it before tomorrow, since the first screening is tomorrow night. I think it's the first screening of Episode 1, Phantom Menace. Those are courtesy of Fox.
And then it'll all be over. After the first day, you know, you won't get all the stories.
So wait, and we will tell you when to call in on that.
You won't have to look at Arch Campbell with his straw hat at the Uptown Theater.
Oh, and I got to tell you something I saw on Channel 2 in Los Angeles. The best TV sweeps promo I've ever seen.
Local news promo?
Yeah. And certainly the best one of this season.
Up to now, and that's got to be good.
Up to now, the best one had been the one about braces, that your braces have been on someone else's teeth.
Right. Your braces. That was a good one, though.
Okay. This is it. Tonight on the Channel 2 News, Lost Pet Predators.
wait.
Here's exactly how the promo goes. We got a lady on it. She goes, well, I lost my cat. And then I got a phone call. And they play the tape, and the guy on the phone goes,
I bought your cat.
Wait.
Unless you pay me $100, I'm going to have sex with your cat.
And then the woman, they go back to the woman, she goes, it was horrible. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And then the guy goes,
Lost Pet Predators.
And apparently there's a whole underground nation of guys that find lost pets
and blackmail the owners,
call the owners, and
threaten
to have sex with the animals.
Oh, my God.
Unless the owners pay.
Hello? Hello, Uriah? I've got your cow. Pay me $100
for the rest
of Don't worry about it. Don't bother paying. I'm going to have sex with the cow anyway.
I think it was on Channel 2 in Los Angeles, so maybe at some point we'll have to call Channel 2 to ask them about that.
Pretty interesting how they find these stories. Lost Pet Predator.
That's the lowest. That's the absolute lowest. And they had real tapes of the guy.
Here I have your cat here. Unless you pay me $100. I'm going to have sex with your cat.
How low will they go?
Where do they find this stuff? It's incredible. You know, they must save all this stuff up because it's got to be throughout the year where they said, what's that floating in your iced tea? That'll be great for sweets.
But you can't do better.
No.
Than a guy that steals lost pets.
The air you breathe could kill you.
And then calls you up and threatens to have sex with those animals.
Well, I'll only be satisfied with that story if they find the guy. If they actually find the guy and bring him out, you know.
I think they might have.
Mm-hmm.
They might have found it. They had the tape of the phone calls. And normally when you do something like that, there has to be a happy ending, like where they already have the pre-constructed. Oh, but there's a happy ending to this. We found the man. His name is Robert Spiewak.
I was just making a funny phone call. I never meant anything by it.
I wasn't going to have sex with the cat.
Silly Willies.
All right, where's Leah now?
Leah Remini?
We're ready for her right now.
Are we on stage in Hagerstown? No. This is actually the real show that we're doing here now, gentlemen.
We have stopped our show. We have lost all forward momentum.
Well, you know what she's doing? If we made her wait, now she is making us wait.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, this is not a lady who enjoys
being told, you know, she's going to be on in the next break.
We have other celebrities we could call. Are you aware that Dick Van Patten was on the show Family Guy last night?
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
Dick Van Patten. We got to do that setup for when we go out to L.A., you know,
to go to the Playboy Mansion with him.
A dream come true.
That's right. We might just call Dick Van Patten.
It's fantastic.
All right, we'll just take some other calls first. How about we give her 2 minutes to call in?
Very good.
So, 2 minutes.
And then we'll avoided, because, you know, we had to punish Kevin James that way also.
And then we'll have waited 5 minutes for her telephone call.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hey, Bobby.
I've got a sand dune story for you.
Sand dune?
Well, you said you were making love out in the sand dune, so...
There you go. I wouldn't... No, I did one time with my wife. You're right.
Did you really?
Sucked. Yeah, out at Assateague Island.
Did you have a blanket, or was it right in... Speaking of Assateague, was it a...
No, there was a blanket there.
There was a blanket there.
It's tough.
My story's worse.
What?
Well, we were out there, and we were all by ourselves. Nobody else on the beach. And one thing led to another. We started making love, and I just happened to look up at the legs of a state park ranger.
Oh, listen, hold on a second, please. Hold on, I promise I will come back to you first, sir.
That was a lovely interlude, though.
Yes. You only made us wait.
I'll tell you what's funny.
4 minutes
and 25
seconds.
Funny.
Hi, Leah.
That you two give me crap that I'm going to change and all this.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I call exactly the time I was supposed to call.
Yes.
And Charlie, your producer, tells me to call back.
All right. Okay, Leah Remedy from the fabulous show King of Queens is our guest.
Right.
Isn't she marvelous?
The brilliant, funny, gorgeous actress, and Leah Remedy.
And would you agree, Leah, you are a better friend to us than Kevin?
I would agree. Now I want to hear the tape.
All right. She's hip to what's going on.
All right. Well, let me do a promo for your show tonight, season finale.
Thank you for telling me. Oh, my God, it's so funny.
King of Queens, CBS, 8:30, great show. You know, we love the show. Now.
Thank you, guys.
The last
one? Wait a minute. Let me just tell you something real quick.
Yes.
Before we get into it, let me be nice for a second.
Okay.
Now, see, I do this. I have a website,
mm-hmm.
which I do for free, I might add,
mm-hmm.
that people write in and, you know, they ask for autographs and stuff. And
right.
Everybody's been really sweet. But here's what's funny. So many letters do I get about your show.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, and that's a compliment to you. I mean, everybody writes in, heard you on a Dynamite show. A few of them, I've never seen your show until I heard you on Dynamite. So you guys are really, really helping us.
Okay, well, and you're helping us,
you
too.
You know how much we appreciate it.
You're helping us from what Kevin tells us.
Absolutely.
Okay, don't try to get ugly real quick.
Okay,
I'm trying to have a moment with you
separate to what we're about to get into.
It's a special moment, and we're enjoying, you know, we enjoy these times as well as the streaming times.
But you'll understand that the moment seems a little insincere because you know what's going to come next.
I don't care what's about to go on. This is just fun, what's going to happen later, because I'm totally in the right here. I have nothing to worry about.
I like that confidence. I do indeed.
So we have Leah on the show. I think it was about 3 weeks ago last time. We had a wonderful conversation. We talked to Raul, her boyfriend.
That's correct.
He sang a song for us.
Angelo, you idiot.
It was great. And she says to us, we say, hey, what's the deal with us getting our names mentioned on King of Queens? Because we're on the refrigerator.
She goes through a very lengthy story about what Kevin said when Leah said, yeah, this would be a good time to mention Don and Mike.
And that right. Kevin says,
I never said that. I said that he said, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, all right, exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, as it turns out, a couple weeks later, it sweeps. So okay. Kevin James calls in for his plug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which should I play first, Robbie, the message or the proof?
This is part of this.
Okay, all right. Here you go. Kevin had a message for you, and I want to play you the tape now of when Kevin was on the show. And
you're kidding me.
We brought this up to Kevin.
Jesus. All right. Okay,
all right, here we go. Here's us with Kevin James a few weeks ago. He said this would be a nice place to mention Don and Mike.
Right.
He said, Don and Mike, and that you
turned around and looked at him, and I remember the exact quote she said. You turned around and went, I don't know.
Yeah, you blew us off.
Are you out of your mind?
Listen,
Robbie, are you completely out of your mind?
Go get the tape. I'm serious. Rack the tape up. We're not making this up, Kevin.
Leah said this?
Yeah, please
play it for me.
All right, I swear to God, we're getting the tape right now. I mean, I know that you think...
Can I say something?
I know you think we're devious and good cop, bad cop, but this is on the level.
I said, hey, I'm going to make mention to this picture sometime and just say, even if it's a two-second ago, who the hell are these guys? Like that, and she says, those are your cousins, you idiot. And I go, well, whatever. You know, like, and we move on.
That is kind of what Leah told us that she said to you.
Oh,
swear to God.
Oh, my God.
Here she is.
Okay.
And I said, this might be a good time for me to say, you know, this is what we decided to do. That he's going to walk by the picture of you guys and go, who's that? I'm going to go, your cousin.
Right.
And say, Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
And I go, so this might be a good time to do that. You know, since you're near the refrigerator. And he's like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Now, one of you two is lying to us, and I don't want to tell you.
Listen to me. Leah's
coming on next week.
This is what I don't care. I want you to tape all this and play for her.
All right, I will.
Tell you something, my friend.
All right, go ahead,
my friend. I am running this show.
Okay.
I am the one who talked to Michael Whitehorn, our executive producer, about you guys saying we have to get it on. I brought it up. You guys would never be mentioned if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, okay.
All right, get out of you.
Get angry. All right, okay.
God, she never talks about it. Nothing. I'm like, hey, we got to get these guys in. I came up with the idea of, hey, let me, even if I say something about, like, who are these guys in the refrigerator? She's nothing. She's all about makeup and everything.
Sorry we brought it up.
Yeah, we brought it up.
That is fine.
Man, you're gonna get an ass kicking.
All right. Well, sorry that we troubled you.
I can't believe she's trying to. You know what she did? I swear to you, I brought it up, and I was the one to bring it up and mention it and say we got to do something for these guys. And she totally cashed in on me doing it.
All right.
She jumped the gun.
I should have known. All right, Leah. There we are, Leah. You heard the gist. That's just the way it went on the show.
That is funny. That is some funny stuff.
Yes, funny. Of course funny, but the charges that perhaps should be answered, Leah.
No. Let me explain something to you, and I hope you're taping this for the next conversation.
Yes, we are.
Heaven with amnesia.
We're very, very comfortable.
You know, I think the next time, this is going to be you and him on the phone together.
Mm-hmm. Really.
No, I really think we need to have a conference call.
I think that's a good idea.
What would you like to say in your defense? Because there is your co-star.
Okay, first of all, I never said that I came up with the idea to walk by. I said we came up with the idea with the picture.
Fine.
Okay. Remember the first time we talked or the second time we talked, you said you want to come on the show?
Right.
Okay. I brought that up to Kevin. I said, you know they want to come on the show now. He said, then we're going to put the picture up and then we're going to make mention of that they're my cousin.
Okay. Hold on. Let's just talk specifically. You said that you said to him, hey, this would be a good time to mention Don and Mike. And you said that he said no and he blew us on.
No, he didn't blow you off. He said, we're doing this new thing. We're going to put their picture up. I said, oh no, that was my idea. Then weeks later.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to remember. I know it sounds like I'm lying, but I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm just trying to remember
Busted.
The exact time because it will jog Kevin's memory if I get specific.
Are you indicating that Kevin perhaps has trouble with details, Leah?
Well, we all know that.
No. Leah, let's talk about the conversation that you had with us. You said this is not about if we're going to be on the refrigerator or not.
Right.
This was, you said specifically, you're taping one of the last episodes of the week, of the year.
Right.
And you said that you walked up to Kevin and you said, hey, this would be a good time to mention.
What happened?
He says
exactly what happened.
As you just heard.
And Kevin knows us the truth because he called me today. He called me this morning and said, "You know I love you, right? You know I love you, right? But you just want you to know before you talk to Don and Mike, you know that I said some stuff, and you know I love you, right? So you know that's what a guilty person is.
I love it. This is great.
Am I right?
He called you before you were coming on the show.
Right.
That's interesting.
And he said, it's going to be funny because you know, they have a tape and you know I love you and you know I love you. Okay? I'm telling you.
Interesting.
Let me hear Kevin's part again.
Hold on. Let me just hear a brief.
The whole thing is
an hour
monologue.
No. Just a brief part.
All right.
Just 30 seconds.
Okay.
Just let me hear. Let me see if he sounds like he's lying or not.
I want you to tape all this and play it for us.
All right.
Let me tell you something, my friend.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay, my friend.
I am running this show.
Okay.
I am the one who talked to Michael Whitehorn, our executive producer, about you guys saying we have to get it on. I brought it up. You guys would never be mentioned if it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, all right, that's a clip from Kevin.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Let me tell you something.
What?
Kevin does have the power to throw in a line or two about you guys, okay? He has the power.
And you made the suggestion.
And I said, Kevin, this is the last show. We might want to do this now, where we do the cousin thing for Don and Mike. He said, oh, I don't know.
No. All right, now, listen. Are you a religious woman, Leah?
Who has the power?
Listen, I know.
The Whitehorn. It's Kevin King.
Listen, I know you're into Scientology at that crazy Tom Cruise church. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
All right, then I ask you now.
Here we go.
Do you swear to God
that
you are telling the truth and Kevin is lying?
I swear to God that I said to Kevin, we might want to do this now, and he said, I don't know.
That's pretty clear.
All right.
Okay. Pretty clear right there from Leah Remedy.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying Kevin is a liar.
I'm saying Kevin's not telling the whole truth.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough for me.
Enough said.
Okay. How are you?
Also on top of that.
Yes.
It could have not, maybe I gave you the wrong idea to razz you a little bit. That maybe Kevin, because I maybe didn't bring it up at the best of times. So I'm giving him an out right now.
Oh, that's good. I think, you know something?
I think that's very generous of you.
It was very political of you, but it's okay.
That's all right.
No, okay. I'm not giving you this. I'm just telling you the truth.
No, it's okay.
I'm just telling you the truth.
It's okay.
But Kevin James, if he wanted to put it in the last week's show, he could have. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so it's back on him now.
It's back on Kevin.
It's back on him now. Okay.
And you notice how Kevin made a little joke in the beginning? That was buying time.
Well, you know something? This will probably all be forgotten when we get our walk on.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right. Next September.
And that's what we should really focus on, is the walk on.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
that's the line.
No, you know what, though? You know what, though? See, when you say that, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like I'm getting bull ass. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're just trying to get out of one situation and just say, yeah, that's
so lucky. You're so lucky we're live, because I would just curse you out right now.
Really?
I am trying to get... What are you saying? I said it very slowly,
okay.
Very clearly,
right.
And now I've taken even a step further by saying I think we should focus on... Listen, I'm all for talking to Kevin on a little three-way here.
Okay, all right.
Then
that's, you know what?
We'll end this part of the discussion.
You know, usually when you have a situation like this and you get all the parties involved speaking at the same time, usually a lot of good can be accomplished.
I think so.
There we go.
I think we should do that.
And you know, it should be said also that the chemistry between you and Kevin has never been better on that show. How's that for generous?
And frankly, you know, you're our favorite.
Yes, we love you.
Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not true, because you told me last time that Kevin was.
Oh, dear. No, I don't remember.
I don't think so. Do you have a table of that?
You said you answer that, but you kind of hinted that Kevin talks to you more.
You wouldn't have a tape of that, would you, Leah?
No. No tape.
Oh, isn't that funny that you don't have that particular tape?
Well,
you have every other tape.
Listen, sweetie, you're our favorite. There's no doubt about it. Just you understand, we're terribly hurt. Here's the star of the show coming on and on national radio calling you a liar. What were we to think?
But he's a guy. What is he going to do?
Has our loyalty ever been in question? Every Monday. You know what we say on this goddamn show?
That's every Monday.
Watch King of Queens tonight on Tuesday. What's the first thing we say? We say, oh, look, Leah was in a bikini last night.
We never miss it. And we talk about it constantly. We promote that show more than any show on any network under any circumstance.
We're like goddamn elephants. We never forget. Monday.
No, you guys have been great to us.
And it should be noted that we are still very excited to see our pictures on that refrigerator every single Monday night.
And you probably, when you hang up the phone, you probably laugh at how pathetic we are. But you want to know something?
We're happy with it.
We're happy being pathetic.
We do. That's not true.
We do.
I don't think you guys are pathetic at all.
Yes, you do.
Really,
I know.
For the both of you.
If you knew that Monday night, me and Mike sit in front of that TV about an inch away from the set, and we go, look.
Looking at our families who really don't participate in this, because we go, there it is, look, the refrigerator.
Do you see that speck? That speck is us.
That's right.
Hey, what were you guys talking about when I was on hold a half hour ago?
What?
Something about your wife and you having sex outside. What was that about?
Yes, my wife wanted to have sex outside last night, and...
Where outside?
Where outside? Like, we have a big woods by our house.
Like in the backyard or like real woods?
Well, we live like by a real woods. We live way out in the country.
Okay.
So she wanted to go outside and have sex. However, it was 7:30 and it was light outside and I was watching a basketball game.
Right.
Frankly, I didn't want to have sex outside.
But what was the the back and forth that I had to call back a half hour later so you could finish it.
Well, the back and forth was that she brought my, you know what you're doing? You're turning this around on me. You're not going to be able to do that.
You got sucked into that pretty easily, then, I'll tell you.
You know, you're a good manipulator, Leah.
Why would I be interested in you?
No. You're a fantastic manipulator. You don't care about me.
Absolutely.
You're going to hang up the phone, you do your nails, you go out and you get yourself a latte or something.
We're the last things on your mind.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's not true.
Listen, don't worry. We love you, even though we know that, you know, frankly, we mean nothing to you.
Can you stop saying that? Do you see what Kevin has done to you?
That's what lying does to a relationship, Leah.
We need the conference call.
Why am I the one who's getting it?
We need the conference call.
We need the conference call.
Okay. When would you be available to conference call?
I think Kevin is the one that's lying.
Thank you.
I believe Leah.
Thank you.
I think that's the way it is.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mike.
They should at each other right now, like, yeah, right.
I believe Kevin.
You believe Kevin?
Now, Leah's telling the truth. I can tell. She's always been square with us.
Thank you. You believe Kevin?
So has Kevin, Mike.
Well, I think it's going to be important to get everybody on the line together.
When would you be available for a conference call, Leah?
I am here. I'm available to you.
Aren't you doing anything?
Have Charlie call Kevin's people in New York and get him to get on the damn phone.
Okay, so you would be available whenever he's available.
I am available whenever Kevin is ready.
Okay.
You call Michelle, you call me, and you tell me when he's available. I will be there.
Don't you have Kevin's phone number?
I do, but he's in New York.
Hold on. Charlie is calling him right now.
Charlie Broyles. Here's what we'll do. Okay, have Charlie page him to your number, 911.
Page him, 911.
Okay, so he'll call us back.
Oh, please, he won't.
And we'll do it right now.
Okay, right now.
The strong-willed woman here.
I can do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to do it now?
Will you give Charlie his pager number?
Damn right.
All right, hold on, please. Hold on, please, sweetheart. All right, that is Leah Remini.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that... Charlie, would you pick that up, please? She's on line 9.
Very good.
You know, we're never going to get a hold of Kevin James, but we'll give it a try.
But eventually, I think we're going to get both of them on this show. I think that's gonna have to happen.
I don't know, man. She's a good-looking lady. I know she's used to getting her way a lot.
Yes, she is. She is. And I think she is honest as the day is long.
I'm with him.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. I just think you have to take all the ingredients and put them together. I think Kevin's a very busy guy. I think in the heat of the battle, he's thinking about a lot of things on that show, and perhaps he just threw that over his shoulder. You know, I don't know.
I don't know, man. He is the star of the show.
He is. I know I'm taking a risk.
The buck does kind of stop with him.
I understand.
Yes. Kevin James Show. All right, well, we will get Kevin online.
Very good.
And then we'll talk to Leah some more when we come right back.
Certain is the urine thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
It's time for more conversating. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Leah, you still there?
Yes, dear.
All right, here she is. It's very nice to stay through the break. We appreciate it.
No problem, honey.
You'll be on Roseanne tomorrow?
Yeah.
When did you tape that?
I taped it a couple days ago.
And was it a pleasant experience?
It was great. She was so nice to me. She was really a doll.
Could you smell her farts?
I didn't smell her farts. What the hell? You guys got this private joke at like...
No,
that's not a private joke.
That's a public joke. Did Rosie?
What do you mean?
We just wonder if she maybe breaks wind during the show.
What? Is she known for that or something?
Oh, come on, Roseanne. Come on.
What the hell do I know?
Well, I'm just telling you, did you smell anything?
All right. She was beautiful. She was great. She was so nice
and
to me.
You enjoyed the experience.
I really did. I really did. You guys are always looking for dirt, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
So,
we make our living.
You didn't hear anything like that?
Okay, that's a funny bit. Charlie told me that somebody sent you a naked picture of me.
Oh, it's a fake naked picture of you. Oh, there's so many of those on the internet. There's so many on the internet.
That is so dumb.
Somebody took a picture of a girl.
Did you think for a half a second that it was me?
Let me see.
Maybe. Yeah. It's a pretty good forgery.
Yeah?
But, you know, I'll tell you how I knew it wasn't you.
Why?
It's that the girl, it's you, obviously. I mean, it's your head.
Right.
In bed, and one of your boobs is sticking out. Not your boob, her boobs.
Right.
And your cradling a picture of me and Mike. That's how I knew it was a forgery.
And you can always tell the different lighting, you know, where the face has a totally different lighting scheme.
But that is Chris in Reno.
Ah,
that said that. Chris has sent us all kinds of fake pictures of naked celebrities before.
So Chris is a real stand-up guy, I can tell
you. He has a lot of time on his
side. Chris is one of those guys who probably got, like, millions of pictures of you that he's floating around the internet saying that, you know, it's you naked.
He's part of the proud 4%, the 4% that choose not to work in this country.
Right, okay, so he's a loser. But...
So you're on the whole island with Roseanne tomorrow?
No, not the whole island. It's Burt Reynolds.
Did you meet Burt?
I worked with Burt.
When did you work with Burt Reynolds?
On Evening Shade.
Oh, that's right.
I did Evening Shade, and then I did a spinoff of that.
How's he doing? Is he any easier to understand?
I'll tell you what, he looked really good.
Was he still talking to kind of like,
long as a bad moment?
No. He was very funny, very charming, and he looks great.
How much did you guys laugh at him? Do you remember that interview he did when he wore like a purple Joker suit? When he went on 2020, when he did that thing, he goes, oh, all right, a bad moment.
So Burt Reynolds and you, were those that you were
and,
the two?
And Dom DeLuise.
Oh. Dom DeLuise!
Yeah.
Now, come on. You mean between Dom DeLuise and Roseanne, you didn't smell anything?
No. It was really fun.
Have you ever met Dom DeLuise before?
No, this was the first time.
And how was he?
He was a doll.
Mm-hmm.
He was a doll. I mean, it was really a great experience. I was very nervous. And when Roseanne first met me, I was in saying hello to Burt. And Roseanne was there. And she turned around and she goes, who are you? And I was thinking, this is not going to be a good interview.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, and I go, I'm Leah, you know. And she goes, oh, I didn't even recognize you. You're so skinny, you know. But then she was just, you know, she didn't know who I was. But I was like, oh, if this is going to be the way the interview is, I'm gonna die. I'm going to run off the stage.
Who booked you on that show if she didn't know who you were?
She knew who I was. She didn't recognize me.
Uh-huh. And is Don DeLuise, is he happy, jolly, fat? Is he at his happy, jolly, fat stage? Or is he at his, you know, call the mortuary fat?
I don't know. He didn't, you know, he seemed bigger to me on television and stuff. And when I saw him, he really didn't look that bad. What?
That's our code blue sound effect.
Meaning what?
That means code, you know, like you see on a hospital show where they flatline.
Okay.
We're losing him. We're letting you in.
You know what I wanted to point out before Kevin called in, actually?
Hold on, let me ask you. Is Kevin calling in?
Yeah.
That's Kevin right there. Hold on.
Wait.
What?
I want you to ask Kevin, where did the picture come from? Who put it up?
The naked picture of you?
No, on the refrigerator.
Okay, stay with me, guys.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. There's a lot going on in here because I think Kevin's calling.
Put the picture up, who received the picture,
you did.
And made sure
you
it
did.
Was on the refrigerator.
You did, and we are, and I'm okay. With you.
Okay.
Let's welcome now Kevin James from King of Queens.
Kevin, you're so nice to call.
Thank you.
Now, the